listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I express like an interstate, get hyper when I ventilate. My rap pieces penetrate or infiltrate your mental state, just to reiterate that I innovate. Boning bras while they menstruate. I spend a great time with the rhyme. More than I did any female, I derailed your train of thought because your brain was caught on another man's thinking. Now your third eye's blinking. My rhymes be kicking like a brother's breath was stinking. I get funky for sure while you're unsure. If you got beef, chief, then let that shit unthaw. This track was abroad. I be boning the shit out of her. Bam, 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 to see what I could get out of her. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house on a Monday. Mm-hmm. That is correct. No Supergirl tonight.
Oh.
That's right, Karen. Welcome to the real world.
I guess so. What's up with all these breaks?
I know. A bunch of shows taking breaks.
Weird, and they not planned and not all on the same week. It's so confusing.
Maybe it's for maybe it's for March Madness or something. I don't know.
You right, and that might be it. Well, I know. I don't know. No. I know when Supergirl was.
They don't come on CBS, the shows we talking about.
Right. I know Supergirl used to.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know what the rhyme or reason is for breaks.
Well, all I know is they ain't here, guys. Okay, I don't know what's going on. At any rate, this is the Blackout Tips podcast. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher. Just search the Blackout Tips. We'll come up. We appreciate everybody that leaves 5-star reviews, especially if you like the show. If they're nice, we'll read them on the air. And if they're not nice, we won't read them. And if they're not 5 stars, we don't even see them. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and an unofficial sport,
it's bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. Today's podcast is brought to you by Loot Crate. Of course, Loot Crate has a lot of gear for the gamers out there and the nerds. If you're into pop culture and nerd franchises, they will send you a monthly mystery crate filled to the brim with all kinds of stuff. You get 6 to 8 items for less than $20 a month. All you have to do is go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and then enter code TBGWT. When you put the when it comes to the offer code box, and you'll save $3 off of any new subscription. All right, let's get into the news. All kinds of news is happening, but you know what, we're gonna go back to where we started yesterday.
This question, you have the answer. So tell me what I wanna know. Do you wanna funk? Do you wanna funk? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you wanna funk, let me show you how. Do you wanna funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me?
All right, gotta go back to the well, dog. We gotta go right back to what we were already talking about.
Okay.
God damn it. Here's the thing. I specifically said yesterday on the show, don't write us in trying to just defend your fave, because that's not gonna end well. Don't write us in with shit that we already know. Don't write us in with the opinions that we're saying, nah, we good. Like that, we don't agree. And most importantly, don't write in talking over the trans women that are speaking about their, the way that they, responded to, Chimamanda's comments. Seemed pretty simple to me. I already got email, comment, already. It's like people have to fight this battle. And it's from people that are like, no, I'm not trans, but I just felt that I could talk over them. I felt that the words y'all read, because it's not even me and Karen really talking, we're just reading you the words of people whose experience is this,
right?
And if you don't agree with those people, you don't have to agree with those people. That's mm-hmm. fine. I can't make right. you agree with anybody. I can't make you have any opinion at all listening to this shit. But you could be the decent kind of human person and not write us when we ask, actually specifically said, don't even write us on this shit. That's all. Cause it's not really, up for debate. So it's like, I understand that some circles is up for debate for some people, but I feel like that's very callous. It's like what happens with us when, I don't know, we respond to racism and then white people come in and have a fucking academic debate about our humanity, and it's always fucking insensitive and polarizing and it pisses people off. And then when we have our situation, when we get to have our little not even little, but when we get to have our privilege, like I will hope that we could do better to weld our shit a little bit differently, you know. I totally understand that not everybody's perfect, not everybody's gonna get it right, blah, 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 but some of this shit, it's like, literally, we're just reading what the fuck people said, and y'all are hitting us up on some like, yeah, well, this is why that person that lived that life, that is dealing with these issues, is wrong. It seems so fucked up to, like, especially when we have so many times on this show where we've talked about, like, oh, this black woman said this thing happened to her. And then we watch as the media and white people and sometimes even black men and all kinds of people come in, talk over that person and tell them what they're experiencing is not the real truth. That's not what's happening. It's some other shit that they decided is what's the real truth. So I guess we just gonna have to do this shit all the time. I guess this is gonna be the thing now is... people just gonna have to hear it ad nauseum, man. Because like I said, for me, a few years ago, I the first time I ever heard of the concept of transgender at all, it was from a podcast I listened to. And I am by no means an expert. I have not gone to school for this. I the only thing I've done is listen to people and empathize and believe them. That's it.
Right.
I don't feel like I'm some type of better person. I'm not a fucking saint. I'm not trying to have a woke off. I'm not trying to have a Olympics with anybody. It's not a competition. A lot of the thought processes that people have now are things that, you know, in the past I've been like, well, maybe this is it, you know, but I guess the only difference is I've never been as sure as people to be like, no, you don't get to have this womanhood. No, you don't get to have this manhood. No, you know, and then someone brought up, and we'll get to it Saturday in the comments, but that's before you even get to like gender nonconforming people, which, you know, to be honest, I didn't even think about yesterday. People that go by pronouns like them and they, I don't think we brought it up yesterday. I brought it up in the past about stuff. And to be honest, it's because I don't know enough about that.
Me either.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know enough. That's kind of, for me, new territory on gender nonconformity and how to address people with the right pronouns and stuff. I mean, I try to refer to people by their names, but I'm a human being. I'm 38 years old, and I was definitely raised to say he, her, him, she, her, they, you know, all that shit. So you gotta work to undo it, and I want to honor and respect people in the way that they wish to be addressed. So I'm trying my best to do that. So, but I'm saying all that to be like, I'm human. It's not about me trying to outwoke anybody. It's not about Karen trying to outwoke anybody. It's not about our podcast trying to be like, everybody's stupid and we're smart. It's really not that. But it's not a debate, is what I'm saying. Like I know people want to have debates. I've seen it on other people's pages and their Facebook groups, and people want to fight about it and shit. And it feels so fucking insensitive to have this academic conversation when you have people who are trans who are speaking, saying, this is my life. This is what happened. This is my experience. This is what I went through. And it's just fucking a group of people just talking over them, like, no, I think it's this. No, I think it's that. No, I think it's that. And I don't want to join in the fray of, no, I think it's this. No, I think it's that. I'm just believing the people that said that's their experience. That's it. It really doesn't seem that complicated to me. But maybe it is that complicated and I'm just looking at it too simple. But it really seems fucking simple, because this is the same thing we talk about when we talk about, like, the bathroom laws, when we talk about, women, when we talk about sexual assault. It actually doesn't hurt me at all to just believe the person.
Talk about street harassment.
Yeah, it, like, I don't understand the harm that people feel is being done. Is this like when Republicans say our marriage is under attack because LGBT people are allowed to get married? Is this what that is?
It's the same concept. Yes. Yes, because in my personal opinion, I think that there are a lot of people out there that feel threatened by something different. A lot of people out there, they have they want to feel superior. Even in a minority group, and you are also a minority, you still want, everybody has something in them for some reason, shape, form, fashion that makes them want to feel superior. That's why you have white supremacy. That's why you have male privilege. You know, that's why you have straight privilege. And people's in these groups, even though they're minorities in other aspects, if they can quote unquote be above somebody and look down on somebody, some people will take every chance they get to quote unquote be a step above somebody. Cause hey, somebody else is looking down on me, so I'm gonna look down on you. But that doesn't accomplish anything. And yeah, there are straight people that feel like gay people getting married is affecting their marriage, but it's not. Them getting married does not affect you in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And a lot of times people feel like that about womanhood or manhood. So now all of a sudden I have these extra men or these extra women in the group, quote unquote, being competitive, because some people look at them as competition. Mm-hmm. You know, now I got to worry about you, quote unquote, stealing my man, you know, mm-hmm. or stealing my woman, or whatever the case is, you know. And I think that a lot of people are threatened by things that they do not understand.
And people say so much about letting people speak for themselves and letting, like, you know, we need to let people speak for themselves, or why don't we let marginalized people talk whenever we have these events? Like, we should be moving people towards the front and let them to speak about their own existence and their own lives and not speaking for them, you know, specifically when it comes to black women. Like, if there's a conference and there's a bunch of fucking white women meeting to talk about civil rights or some shit, and there's no black women speaking, we'll get so many emails, so many tweets, how y'all gonna talk about this? This is fucked up. Why, well, this is what's wrong with white feminism and shit like that. And then people are literally flipping this example on its head to be like, this is why trans women do not deserve a seat at the table of right. womanhood. Like, that's been the responses that we've gotten so far. I'm not saying they're mean, they're somewhat condescending and whatnot, but I'm not saying they're mean or whatever. I personally don't feel offended by these, because they're not really about me. I just feel like they're insensitive and fucked up. You know what I mean?
To that group of people. And like I said before, and I personally think it's amazing how people in marginalized groups, they know how it feels to be talked over. They know how it feels to be talked about in a room and they're sitting right there and nobody even take their opinion into consideration. You have a lot of women that are like, no, you are not a woman. You are not a woman. You are not a woman. When dog, you get street harassed, you right. know, you fighting for the right not to be raped. You know, like, you're constantly fighting and you're constantly battling too, but your focus is on them because for some reason, like rape culture, it's easier to look at the victim or the person to take the diversion off of your fucked upness and how you feel. And instead of me admitting that my views and my perspective is fucked up, it's easy to tell you that you ought to shut up and sit down and be quiet and not say nothing, because you speaking up all of a sudden makes me think about how I view you and how wrong it is to do these things to you. And I think that for a lot of people, especially people in marginalized groups, they do not understand that you can still have a privilege in a marginalized group.
Like, okay, so here's one of the emails I was sent. hello. I'm not saying who it's from, and I don't even think this is from that, like, this isn't their real name. And I, you know, it's that thing that we get some from sometimes when people are really ashamed of their point of view, so they email us for the first time, brand new email,
long time listener.
You know, a name that's not their real name, that kind of shit.
Fake accounts.
Right. Cause they know what they're saying is wrong and they don't want to get, they don't want it associated with them. Anyway. I'll listen to the segment on Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, and I really don't understand why it is that people want to deny that trans women benefit from male privilege before they transition. Privilege is given based on how other people perceive someone, not on how a person feels inside. Like, can you honestly say that the Wachowskis would have been as successful in Hollywood if they hadn't have been seen as men? Once again, same thing I said about Caitlyn Jenner. That people are picking the most atypical examples of people that transition
and that,
to be like, isn't this representative of the whole group? When the whole point that many of you guys don't see it for Caitlyn Jenner because y'all say she's so out of, she's so atypical of the experience of most people that are, that transition, specifically to women. Like, she's so atypical, especially when it comes to people of color, which is mostly the people, what our podcast is about. So, you know that you're picking an outlier, and then you want to come back and be like, now see, isn't this a good example? It's actually not.
No, it's not.
It's like saying, isn't Stacey Dash really how black people think? Actually, no. Stacey Dash isn't. She's a black person, yes. I can't take her blackness away from her, but she's actually not a good example of what typically happens for black life in America. She's actually not a great example. She's an example, though. But people keep harping for that. Like, they never go Laverne Cox or Janet Mock. They don't write in for that kind of shit because they're like, well, those people might have went through some hardship. They've spoken about how their life was growing up. They're, you know, and also a lot of them go up for them because it's like, that's my fave. Because they're black women that you're like, oh, I support this black woman. Except for her whole thing about being an actual woman. I mean, that's kind of, I mean, come on, let's not get carried away. I mean, I wouldn't say it to her face. I wouldn't use her as an example. But that's really what you're saying. You know, have you not come across any interviews from trans women where they talk about how they lost male privilege at work after transitioning, or any interviews from trans men where they talk about gaining male privilege at work after transition? I heard your argument that trans women prior to social transition don't benefit from male privilege because they are, for the record, you didn't hear about my argument. I read the words.
Right.
Of a trans, of a few trans women yesterday.
Right. These weren't our words, right?
So you didn't even hear my argument. You literally are just talking over the words that I read. That's it. It's not, this isn't about, Karen and I. Only thing, I have not lived that life. The only thing I'm saying is I just believe these people. I don't have to step in front of their story and be like, nope, it can't be that because I don't think so. Like,
right.
it cost me nothing to be like, okay, that was that person's experience, and many, many people were agreeing with them. Many, many people were, co-signing that experience, within the group. Like, I'm not talking about people outside. I'm saying many trans people were online speaking, not to mention, like I said, trans men get left out, gender non-binary people just got completely left out of the entire thing. But the point being, many people were speaking for themselves. All we did was read the words. We don't have to, there's really no argument I have to make because I'm just reiterating what I've learned and seen and believed. That's it. Don't benefit from male privilege because they are harassed and bullied for being quote unquote weird men. That's not how privilege works. How you would say that a poor white man who is hassled by the cops does not benefit from white privilege, or that an effeminate gay male who is harassed and bullied for being gender nonconforming does not benefit from male privilege? Of course not. Being a low status man does not opt one out of male privilege. Prior to transition, they are seen as men, even if low status ones, and thus still benefit from male privilege. I find, you know, some of your words telling.
Right. What is it, a car?
Weird men, low status.
Right.
Got it. I see how you feel. But, you know what? I'll be reading some stuff about that in a second. We'll address that in a second. For example, below is a small list of things that trans women in elementary or high school who are still presenting as male I think you meant as male, don't have to experience because they are treated as men when they are in school.
Why are you under the assumption that they're being treated as men? Like, you, like a lot of people are under the assumption that they present as men. You have,
and that all men are present, and that all men are treated the same, and that within the spectrum of maleness, like they're accepted. But more important than even that, from my understanding, these are people who are saying, I was born a woman in a male body. So even if they were conforming, even if they were trying to just fit in, that's simply a protection. That's like, I'm trying to do what, cause society does not accept this, or it still doesn't, but maybe one day it will. But we don't accept the idea that someone can just determine this from 4 years old or 3 years old, or like where someone can just be like, I'm not a boy, daddy, I'm not a girl. Or, you know what I mean? Or, daddy, I'm a woman, I'm a girl, daddy, I'm a boy. And that parent in society goes, okay, we haven't gotten there yet. Well, so even if someone were trying to conform because society just kept putting them in this box, that doesn't necessarily give them the same access to the privileges that other people have. You know? And even, and let's say to some extent that it did. Are we defining womanhood by what kind of oppression and how much you get? So you know what I mean? Like, so then someone that lives a charmed life, like, cause some, like a rich white woman, is she not a woman? Cause she ain't really, you know, that her oppression is lighter than many, many other types of women. You know, it just depends on, I think people just want to pull the rug from under the feet. Like, nope, you just don't get this. I'm closing the door. You do not get to be, consider yourself a woman, period. And it's not that different than TERFs, those trans exclusionary radical feminists, like those white women mostly that are like, I'm pro feminism for everything but trans people.
Yeah, I never heard about this till yesterday. I was like, who, what?
Yeah, it's not that different. You know, I only heard about it a few years ago because of TWIB. I was listening to Elon and they highlighted some people that were TERFs, and I was like, what the fuck is a TERF?
Right.
But yeah, like they absolutely, exclude anybody that's trans from the entire conversation. And it's, you know, whether, and that goes both ways, whether you transition to man, whether you transition to woman, gender non-binary, whatever, they like, none of this is beneficial for you. Get the fuck out. Being in a physically abusive relationship, that can't happen to somebody that's gender non-conforming or trans.
Right. A lot of times it's a higher percentage that it will. I mean, it happens to women, period. But, you know, when we talk about trans, it's a higher percentage. Like, you're more likely. The rates increase.
Yeah. Where's the privilege in that? Like, and where's your proof that that's something that doesn't happen to trans people? Discouraged from entering, STEM fields. So once, science fields.
Okay.
Engineering, shit like that, medicine. I think medicine. I can't remember what everything and then still. But the point being, they discourage girls from entering these fields. So therefore, if you're trans and you're a boy and you're in school, they're gonna encourage you.
That's not true.
I'm just saying. That's what they're saying. While trans people are going, that's not what happened to me. It just doesn't, like, they're literally talking over them. I don't think they're even reading this shit. I honestly don't. Mm-hmm. I felt like we read that and talked about it yesterday for nothing to some people because they didn't hear a fucking word we said. They just were like, nope, I have talking points and this is it.
Right. They heard what they wanted to hear.
Yeah. Discouraged from competing in sports. What? Okay. All right. Sexual harassment. So apparently they did not get sexually harassed. If you're trans and you're a kid, if you were in male body, then you didn't get sexually harassed. Okay. There were no sexual comments, inappropriate unwanted touching, none of that happened. So don't worry about that. Judged negatively for being assertive or aggressive, that never happened for you, none of that. And body shaming, there was no body shaming for it sounds so ridiculous because I just, in my mind, I think about kids that we grew up with that were like gender queer and they always got hell. Like it was just like, it was fucked up but it was also like a fact of life, like that poor kid, that person is going to get hell for just being themselves.
Come on,
kids from a young age, and that's before we had words in my vocabulary and in my neighborhood vocabulary for even the concept of like trans. That was back when you just had gay and people were,
and everybody fit into that category regardless of where you fell on the spectrum,
right? Like, they just call you gay and then they would just fucking harass the fuck out of those kids. Mm-hmm. And I mean whatever privilege that people think they had, I didn't see them getting to live out that, any of these positive things. I did see people touching and harassing people. I did see people I did see kids body shaming and picking on people's mannerisms and beating people and sexually harassing people and shit. Like, I did see that. So I think what happens is people want it to be one story.
Mm-hmm. Black and white.
One story of specifically for trans women in this case, but I think trans people in general, they want it to be one story, which is the story of you perfectly fit in, you grow up, no one knows anything, no one has any idea, and then one day you just come to your family and you're rich and you're white and you're successful and you say, I'm gonna transition to a woman starting today. I didn't even think about this shit yesterday, or I wasn't a woman. I just woke up today and said, wouldn't it be neat to be another gender? And I'm going to just do that today because I can do it. And everyone claps and applauds and says, no problem. And people are somehow, that is the idea they have of what it means to be trans in America. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't matter what many trans people, especially trans people of color, say about it. They don't give a fuck what you have to say. They don't give a fuck what, like, they don't give a fuck basically about your humanity, your life, or your words. They're just decided that your experience does not count. And then there's also this excuse about how Chimamanda's from Nigeria, and that's, you know, and that's all fucked up and shit. But you know what, she was speaking for everybody at the time, man. Like, that's the thing, you get elevated. If anything, you should be able to say, well, look, I know she has this really popular quote about there not being one story. If anything, you would think that would apply to trans women as well, right? There's not one story to womanhood, so being trans is another story. And then within that space, there's many other ways that happens, that this life of a woman can be can go down different paths. It would seem like that should apply to all of it. But yeah, I mean it does not harm me necessarily that people want to deny this, but don't write up here to us with the bull. That's all. Like I said, if she's your fave, she your fave. You gonna buy her book, you gonna do all that shit no matter what we say. I'm not here to convince you, right, of any of that shit. I'm just reading the words of the people who are living this life and telling you what they're experiencing and believing them. That's it. Speaking of which, we read some of Raquel Willis' timeline yesterday where she wrote a piece for The Root. Trans women are women. This isn't a debate. Nigerian writer and feminist Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie has been a favorite of mine since I first saw her We Should All Be Feminist speech. It was just a few months shy of Beyonce's release of her iconic anthem, which heavily sampled Adichie's stripped down thesis on what feminism means. I was inspired by seeing another black woman so unapologetically claim the feminist label and be willing to discuss it publicly. However, I should have known that her analysis on womanhood would exclude transgender women. Plenty of other mainstream feminists have shared their own transmisogynistic anti-trans women views with a conflation of gender, sex, and socialization in their core beliefs about equality. Adichie's stake in this bubbled to the surface in a Channel 4 news interview that was released on Friday, which I believe we played yesterday, right? Did we play the interview? I just read it.
I think you may have read it.
All right. Well, y'all remember. She began by gaslighting transgender people. On one hand, she wanted to give the appearance of inclusion and understanding, but on the other, she stripped trans women of their womanhood by not being able to simply say trans women are women. Adichie is categorizing trans women as other from womanhood. Trans women are a type of woman, just as women of color, disabled women, Christian women are types of women. Just as you would be bigoted to deny those women their womanhood, you would be to deny trans women of theirs. Then Adichie invalidates trans women for not having a certain set of experiences. When cisgender women do this, it reminds me of how white women in the United States were initially viewed as a more valid type of woman than black women. In her iconic 1851 "Ain't I a Woman" speech, Sojourner Truth spelled out how inaccurate and privileged it is for us to use these limitations in public discourse. That man over there says that women need to be helped into carriages and lifted over ditches and have the best place everywhere. Truth says, nobody ever helps me into carriages or over mud puddles or gives me any best place, and ain't I a woman? Just as it was wrong for womanhood to be narrowly defined within the hegemonic white woman's experience, so too is it wrong for womanhood to be defined as a hegemonic cisgender woman's experience. Cis women may be the majority, but that hardly means their experience is the only valid one. Adichie's next major point, that womanhood is about the way the world treats us, is problematic and uninformed as well. Defining womanhood purely by how we are oppressed strips us of our agency and self-determination and empowers the patriarchy. I'm a woman, and regardless of my experiences of sexual harassment and being invalidated by men at various points in my life, further, these are experiences that she either thinks trans women can't undergo, or it matters less when these things happen to us. And if we play by the oppression Olympics view of who has it worse, many would easily make the case that trans women do. In a 2011 survey, Injustice at Every Turn, transgender people were reported to be twice as likely to be unemployed, four times as likely to be making less than $10,000 a year. Then in a 2013 report by the National Coalition of Anti-Violence Programs, transgender women were found to be 1.8 times more likely to experience sexual violence than other survivors. Within the LGBT community, trans women account for 72% of the homicides, far surpassing numbers for cis women. Yep, it gets worse. In 2016, the deadliest year on record for transgender women in the United States, while our sisters in Brazil accounted for 144 reported murders throughout the year. Ooh. It is true that many trans women are not perceived as women for a portion of our lives. This, however, does not mean that we are afforded the experience of men. Does this mean that we can get back our 100% woman distinction once we're out as trans for more than the time we were perceived as a different gender? Does this mean that a growing group of young trans girls who transition at a single digit age will never be respected in their womanhood? This is a slippery slope, and if we define the experience of trans women in this way, then you're defining the experience of cis women who may not be able to live up to your expectations. I'm not interested in a three-fifths compromise on my womanhood.
Come on.
Despite my disappointment in Adichie's assessment of trans women and our experiences, I am not interested in throwing out my sister. There's a particular swiftness that plagues black women who are in public who are public figures that doesn't chase white women in similar situations. If you want to stand on a pedestal and denounce Adichie, you must be doing the same to white women like Lena Dunham and Amy Schumer, who are praised while consistently feeding into anti-blackness.
Come on.
And while you're at it, understand that liking posts on Facebook and retweeting Twitter threads isn't the only thing you should be doing to confront trans misogyny, compensate trans women for their work, expand access to jobs and resources, most of all, elevate trans women to speak for ourselves. Holding people accountable requires a certain amount of creativity, patience, and empathy. When I hold my black cis sisters accountable as a black trans woman, I acknowledge positionality in a nuanced way. Black women in general are overlooked, spoken over, and ignored in mainstream conversations on women's issues. Understanding this allows me to approach the conversation with a certain sensitivity to our common struggle. Now, I'm not interested in coddling cis people, but I believe that if we show more care than not with our sisters, our conversations will be that much more fruitful. I urge black cis women to do the same, and also realize that not all black trans women are interested in or owe you this dialogue. Yeah, because, you know, that's that run up and done up on the wrong person, you know, because I like, that's the thing. Like, I follow like certain people that are like they're trans, but they're also like journalists or podcasters or whatever. And, you know, for some people, there's this burden of like educating people constantly. And whether it's like for survival or whether it's for just, you know, peace of mind or whatever, I just look at it and just think at the workload that must be. I talk about black shit all the time. I very rarely engage with somebody and explain myself to them.
Right.
And when I do, it is fucking exhausting to be like, well, this is what that means, and this is what that means, and this is what I mean when I say that, and have you experienced this, and let me try to reach you at this place that you're at so that I can change this one single heart or mind or at least be understood, I'm much more quicker to be like, man, fuck you. This wasn't a debate, you know? So right. I could understand if there were a lot of people that were like genderqueer that was out here like, yo, I'm just sick of fucking being on education teaching mode all goddamn day.
Right. And not being compensated. I should not have to explain my humanity, period. Right. I do not care what kind of lifestyle I live, what kind of my sexuality is. I should not have to explain to you that I'm a fucking human being. Don't you love your loved ones? I love my loved ones. Don't you love yourself? I love myself. Aren't you happy in your skin? I'm happy in my skin too. I should not have to waste my time explaining this bullshit to you. I should not have to take you to racism school 101, transgender school 101, LGBTQ school 101. I should not have to waste my time doing this. And if I do, compensate me because it's time consuming.
Yeah, I just don't know why you wouldn't read and just leave it at that. You know, I don't know where the impetus to like attack is coming from, or the no, you got this wrong. This is the only way to be like, I don't know where it's coming from, to be honest, you know? And not to mention, like I said, this argument never gets made the other way, right? Like there's never a, like if there was a trans man, somebody who like I transitioned from, like, well, not trans, I was born a male in a female body. Mm-hmm. They don't never reach out and be like, well, that person can actually tell me if I'm right or wrong, because you know what, they lived a long time as a woman. Please tell me, you get to have say, so the final say on this discussion. They just go, no, you don't count. Like, it just never come, like, it just seems count. It seems so loaded of a discussion. If your feminism does not respect trans women in their full womanhood, if it is not truly intersectional, if you don't advocate for the liberation of trans people, you aren't truly invested in equality. And if you don't advocate on behalf of black trans women, then you aren't truly invested in black liberation. You know, I'm sure the trolls and the comments are being very, very kind.
It's lit.
You know. This isn't a debate, but it is. Okay, all right. If you are human and possess XY male chromosome pairs, you are male regardless of any surgery, drug, therapy, makeup, attire, personal belief, feelings, or politics. It is simply science. Yeah, cool. Appreciate the input.
I stay out of the comment section, but that's just
yeah. You know why I look at this shit? Because a lot of people that would write us but claim to be like us, we talked about that ally shit yesterday. A lot of people that would be like, no, I love trans women. I watch Orange is the New Black or whatever the fuck. Like I'm a big supporter. Would be the people that make these arguments, but with a smile on their face, and they say the right words, and then it's supposed to not be insulting, you know. It's not, I'm not really speaking over you, but I'm speaking over you. I'm really just saying bless your poor head, bless your child, bless your heart, essentially. But yeah, so all right, you got it, dog. There's also this article, still think trans women have male privilege. Here are 7 points that prove that they don't, and this is from Everyday Feminism. They start by saying that the idea is that trans women with our masculine quote-unquote bodies and having been raised as male receive all kinds of privilege that cis women don't, such as relative safety from sexual harassment, social preference in school and the job market, and so on. As a result of this perspective, trans women are only excluded from women only spaces excluded from women only spaces on the basis that we might be violent or make cis women uncomfortable, or that we are already served by male institutions. So that's another thing that's weird on this too. While you're not acting on it, you are essentially agreeing with people that are like, stay out of my bathroom. You're not a woman. You are threatening me. You are different. You need to have your own shit. Stay, like, I don't feel comfortable.
That's separate but equal shit.
Yeah, like even though you're not acting on it. So you might not be out here being like, keep them out my bathroom, but you are saying there is this separation that people aren't talking about. Oh, it's real. Like, it's not, you're not the same. So don't think that you're included in this. And not even saying you're different, but you're not included in this is what you're not under the umbrella of womanhood. You're perfectly fine to be in your own separate category, but this idea of being under this umbrella with me, not comfortable with that at all. You should only do things by yourself. So then it goes on and has like seven, the piece has like seven different points. Let me just get to the points because it's long. Trans women are not real women. This is a simple truth that a lot of folks, even allies, even queer and genderqueer ones, tend to forget or misunderstand when thinking about how trans women are affected by privilege and oppression. We are real women as much as any cis woman is. And if we are women, that means we cannot receive male privilege, because male privilege is by definition something only men and masculine identified people can experience. To say trans women receive male privilege implies that we are partially male or less female than cis women or falsely female. All of the above are incorrect and offensive because trans women are women. No ifs, no ands, and no buts about it. I think that's another thing. I don't think people have listened to or understand that trans people are for the most part are saying, I was born a woman or a man, like I was, or gender nonconforming, like I was born like this wasn't a at seven I changed my mind. But I don't think people can, you know, understand that concept, because in their mind I think everyone's looking at the outside. So it's like, at the second that you get some titties, okay, now you're a woman. But before that, you was always a man. You know what I mean? I think that's how they look at it. You know, that's why one of the most common questions asked of like celebrities and shit is like, well, have you had the surgery yet? Cause it's like, I'm not going to truly just say that you're a man or a woman unless your body aligns with that through some type of surgery or something, which is so wild, because you're not gonna respect that shit either. Even after they have surgery, you're just gonna be like,
even if you do.
How many people don't respect Caitlyn Jenner as just the fact that she's a woman? How many people don't respect that? Because they're just like, nope. I don't care if you had surgery or don't have surgery. I don't respect you, period. How many, you know, as much as black people go up for certain, trans women of color and shit, how many other people are still like, you damn man, and making jokes and shit like that, thinking that it's harmless when it's kind of fucked up, you know? Mm-hmm. Two, trans women are not socialized as men. The idea of trans women being socialized as males is the biggest argument that TERFs bring out when trying to justify the exclusion of trans women from feminism, and is also the most compelling. After all, it's true that trans women are perceived as male at birth and we are treated as such. However, most feminine children experience being treated as male extremely different from cisgender boys. Cis boys generally do not question or feel discomfort with the way the society treats them. They are able to accept and enjoy their privilege, usually without even noticing it. Being called boys for them is not accompanied by fear, self-doubt, or feeling that there is something deeply fundamentally wrong with them. Young trans girls, on the other hand, tend to experience being treated as male as disorienting and terrifying, because it teaches us that our identities are revolting to society. Yeah, like for all that privilege shit, if you're a woman and you're male bodied and you hear what the way that men talk when they don't think women are listening,
come on.
I can't imagine. That shit would be horrifying. You know, I was just playing ball today, and I'm not saying this is horrifying, but this is just how much it's in our society. We were playing ball today, right, at lunch, and this dude, he was shooting bad. He was missing a lot of shots, and we lost the game. And he just goes, man, I shot like a girl today, which is, one, like something I haven't heard since fifth grade. But then two,
very insulting.
We're grown ass men, right? Like, right. He could have said, I shot like shit. My bad, I was off, my fault, whatever, right? But he chose that.
Right, and there are girls that can shoot. What are we talking about?
Right, so if anything, the cliche of girls playing basketball would be that they can shoot. There's a lot of other stereotypes that people might have against women as far as athleticism or dunking or something, but fundamental shit like shooting, that's not a thing. Anyway, mm-hmm. He's like, I shot a girl today. And, you know, silence hung in the air for a couple seconds. It was just me and this dude, Ivan, and then this guy. And I was like, I mean, girls can shoot though. So, and then, Ivan was like, yeah, you see that girl from UConn? She went like 10 for 10 for three the other day. And I was like, man, UConn, I was like, they just steamrolling people though. Mm-hmm. Like all of them can shoot.
Come on.
And, dude was like, and I mean, this only took less than a minute, this whole conversation. And the dude was like, yeah, you're right. Girls can't. He was like, if I could shoot like a girl, we would have won. I was like, yeah, if all of us could shoot like them girls, we wouldn't be playing ball at lunchtime because we'd be better than this.
Right.
And that was it. Like a little chuckle and we moved on. But that's just a little thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he felt comfortable enough in a room of dudes to say that because the assumption is that most of us would either agree with him or not say anything.
Right.
So understand that that meant he was bad because he shot like a girl, right? Well, that
a girl
like,
is quote unquote less than.
Cause, right. Now imagine like that you're a girl, but you're male bodied and then you got these motherfuckers sitting around you saying way worse shit than that. You know, it that gotta be terrifying. You gotta be like, I hope they don't figure this shit out. I hope, you know, what do they think about me? Just people watch the Moonlight, and that's not even about a trans person. That's just mm-hmm. about a person that was gay.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to see what terror that was for that kid. You know, like what was this access and protection and all the shit that they were afforded supposedly? You know what I mean? It just feels so exclusionary. But, you know, for the record, I like I said, I'm not trying to change people's minds. This is just the way we think and this is our podcast. So we talking about it, but I'm not saying this to debate. It just seems so, this is why it seems ridiculous to me to fight this battle. You know, like this is the truly like, this is like when people say, well, look, y'all should still support, this cause cause we all black. And people are like, yeah, but you've been treating me bad cause I'm a black woman, or you've been treating me bad cause I'm black and I'm LGBT. You treat me bad cause I'm, you know, I'm black and I'm from the South or whatever. And then people are like, you're being divisive. Can you just shut up and support what the thing I want to talk about? Anyway, yeah, male socialization for us is actually a coded message. You're not who you think you are, and if you try to be anything other than what we say, you'll be punished. Let me make an analogy. Imagine you're born with dark hair, but everyone you know, from your parents to your teachers to your friends, tell you that you are blonde. Starting from that moment of your birth, as you grow up, you can see that your hair is the same color as other dark-haired people, but the people around you insist on giving you compliments for being blonde. And every time you say that you think you might actually be brunette, they beat you up. You're told that you're mentally ill or immoral and subjected to experimental medical procedures designed to quote-unquote fix you. Yeah, that's the other part of people, when people say like this privilege and shit, there's a lot of families where they like abuse kids for saying some shit like this.
Kick them out the house.
Yeah. Like, you know.
Loony bin.
Not saying Tracy Morgan would actually hurt his kid or anything, but like he felt comfortable enough to say he'd stab his son for being gay on stage and to a crowd of people for a joke and thought that people would laugh at it. And maybe they did. I don't know. But the point being, like, we ain't came that far to feel like, oh, those kids will be safe. Just tell your mama and they'll understand. You know, it feels a lot like that article we read where the country was kicking people out and sending them back to their country. It was like Europe was kicking people out and saying, go back to Afghanistan. And they were like, but we're gay and we'll get killed for being gay. And they were like, well, just act straight. It feels a lot like that, right? Like, well, obviously these kids just need to act straight until they get a chance where they can transition out to the world. Just act straight. I mean, it's that easy, right? Yeah. Three, trans women experience misogyny before they present as women. So here's a confession. When I was little and everyone thought I was a boy, I didn't just love Barbie. I wanted to be Barbie. There are all kinds of internalized racism and fat phobia that went into this. This is common enough experience among children of the 80s and 90s. All the other little girls I knew wanted the same thing. But every time I picked up or even looked at a Barbie, I was called fag or gay lord. This is the 90s. By the other boys, reprimanded by my teachers and punished by my parents. The way I played, dressed, walked, and talked was scrutinized and criticized for any sign of femininity, of which, of course, there were many. Everything I was interested in, everything I did or liked or wanted was denounced for being girly. I was often singled out or bullied by other children for abuse by adults because I was perceived as feminine and therefore an object of entertainment and exploitation. From this I learned, as all girls do, that to be a girl is to be a child of a lesser god in this society. I learned that girls are weak, stupid, frivolous, unimportant, and unnecessary. And I, of course, was a girl, even if no one would admit it. When I went to illustrate with this, what I want to illustrate with this is that trans women experience misogyny even before we begin presenting or being read as women in society. We receive the same messages about femininity and girlhood as cis women do, and we understand them to be about ourselves, however hidden those selves might be. Four, trans women don't experience less violence or discrimination than cis women. She said, but I can already hear the Turks crying out. Trans women who are read as male are safer than from street harassment and sexual assault. Trans women who read as male perceive preferential treatment in school and unemployment. This is actually not at all true. Trans women are one of the groups most likely to be discriminated against in the job market, housing, healthcare, social services, and pretty much every other field. As from personal experience, I can certainly tell you that we are not safer from harassment or assault. Actually, any person paying attention to the news should know that. At a certain point in my life, it was true that I really, really wanted to, and if I really, really wanted to, I could put on boy clothes when I went out into the world and get read as male. I used to think of this as male privilege because I could opt out of being street harassed, though at the cost of being misgendered. Then I realized that this is kind of like telling women they should be safer if they would only wear conservative clothing. It's saying that I could trade my freedom and identity for safety. Awesome privilege. In any case, this is something that I cannot do, having physically and medically transitioned as many trans women do in some way or other. It doesn't matter what I wear. I will still be harassed just as much. Five, trans women who aren't perceived as femme don't experience more privilege than those who do. A friend of mine who was once involved in a nasty Facebook flame war that lasted for several days. In it, some people were saying that because she is a butch trans woman and doesn't pass as cis, she experiences more gender privilege than femme trans women. As a femme trans woman who passes a lot of the time, I feel the need to stand in solidarity with all my trans sisters and state, first of all, that butch is an identity originating from the lesbian community that people can choose to identify with or not. It is not necessarily the same as being non-passing or pre-transition trans woman. And if anything, trans women who can or don't pass as cis women are even more likely to experience danger and discrimination than those of us who do, because they are more visibly marked as deviant in the mainstream culture. They are more likely to be read as women who are betraying masculinity or as bad female impersonators. Claiming that some trans women are more masculine than others because of the way they look or dress is very similar to saying that real women have to shave their legs and wear makeup. It reinforces the policing of women's bodies and excludes many women from the conversation about what womanhood means to them. Six, trans women may participate in misogyny, but they do so as women. None of the above exempts or excuses trans women for participating in misogyny. We are just as capable as anyone else of shaming and gender policing other women. Case in point, the first time I ever went to a local trans community center in my city, a trans woman I had never met before poked my chest and demanded to know why I didn't have breasts yet. When I told her I wasn't sure if I wanted them, she sniffed and told me that every woman should have breasts. I would be a very pretty woman, she told me, once I had breasts. This is because trans women are exposed to so much cultural misogyny and patriarchy that we inevitably end up internalizing it. Sometimes we even make conscious decisions to uphold patriarchy so we can better fit in with the rest of society. Newsflash, cis women do the very same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all women, really, everybody. I mean, that's the thing I was saying because I think Leslie had commented on my post about the dude that was talking about, I shot like a girl. And she was like, you know, it's funny how quick he just like self-corrected after just being challenged just a little bit. And I was like, I think that's because it's in everybody. Like, I just don't think there's anybody that don't have, like, we're all fucked up because we're all in a fucked up world and society. And I think while many people have decided to take on this goal of like competing with everyone, and they really do seem to be like making a huge ordeal out of like battling people all day, some people just want to be better than they were yesterday, which right. that's like the way I look at my life is like, I just want to be the kind of person that I can look back on and be like, yo, that person was a good person. That person was trying to do the right thing and doing the right shit more often than not. Like that's like, it seemed like a simple goal, but that's it. You know, like I really don't have time to worry about everybody else and getting them in line and shit, because I can barely handle just me and
ain't
shit.
That the truth? I'm enough.
Yeah, so you know, I love that we have this platform and shit, but this every day that you hear this show is just a peek into our lives and the way we think and the way we do shit. It's not really, you know, we've never led nobody no march, we've never you know, started any movement or anything. Like we love and support people, and we want to definitely be here for all Black people. But that's it, you know what I mean? Like it's not really to me it's not really about winning this fight against people, but everybody has it, so it's kind of like winning a fight against yourself, questioning the way you view shit and why do you view it that way, and trying to get rid of the waste and trying to embrace things that because I think this shit makes you a better person when you let go some of this shit, man. And it's funny because we ask and expect that of people that are in positions that can oppress and harm us, but then when it comes to ourselves, we also don't want to do and I hate to call it the work, but it's the work,
right? It's work.
It's not necessarily fun, but you know, reading, learning, listening, for a lot of people,
self-reflection, which is the number one thing that people don't want to do, because a lot of resistance to a lot of this is that people don't want to self-reflect. People automatically say no, they automatically reject, they automatically get angry at the things they don't understand, and they don't self-reflect to see how the things that they do is fucked up, and if it was them on the other, if it was them, how they would be mad that people treated them like that. Because the thing about self-reflection is that honestly, nobody wants to see their own flaws. Nobody wants to see their own imperfections. Nobody wants to see they ain't got it all. Nobody don't want to see that you might be quote unquote woke in this area, but not woke in this other area. Nobody wants to say that they might be ignorant in some areas, and they might say ignorant things and do ignorant things out of lack of understanding, lack of knowledge, and sometimes flat just not wanting to learn or not knowing that they should be on top of certain things. It is a learning process. And in part of that learning process, the self-reflection is what people don't want to do, because if more people self-reflected, a lot of shit that happens, a lot of arguments, a lot of pointless engagements would not happen if people did a little bit more self-reflection.
Yeah, I think people just want to be right more than they want to be, you know, more than they want to treat people right. Like, I want to make this debate or this academic argument more than I want to be a good person, or at least listen to people, or at least move out the way of people. Like, people would rather stand in the way and be like, but I'm right. Mm-hmm. This is how I've learned. It's like everything you learn from a society. Everything we've learned about gender, we've learned from the same society that has killed women and burned them as witches. We've learned from the same society that wouldn't let women vote. We learned from the same society that wouldn't allow women to get divorces. We learned from the same society that allows you to beat your wife. We learned from the same society that says we need to get rid of Planned Parenthood and a woman doesn't have the right to choose. We learned from the same society that doesn't want to teach people about sex. We learned from the same society that thinks that religion should trump people's individual life choices. We learn from the same society that doesn't want to have marriage equality. All of this shit comes from the same source. And people are going to look back and be ashamed of some of the fucking stances they took, because this shit is all happening one way or the other. So I feel like people are going to look back and be ashamed of the way they were, because to me, a lot of the standing in the way shit for stuff that essentially does not affect your life on any level.
Come on.
You're just, to me, you just might as well have a water hose. You might as well have a dog. You might as well be standing in front of the school. You might as well be,
hold up them signs.
Yeah. You might as well be on the other side of Loving versus Virginia. Like essentially for most people, this has no impact on your life. And yet somehow you can't even quote unquote give anybody something. Like you have to be like, no, I'm right all the time, because this is what I learned. This is what I learned. This is essentially what we're saying. Like, there's no room for new knowledge. There's no room for change. There's no room for new ideas. I learned a thing. And I don't see how that is very much different than when people say it's tradition or whatever when it comes to racism and stuff.
Yeah, because I can personally say everybody has grown. If you are the same person you were at 18, at 16, at 21, at 25, at 35 that you are now, something's wrong. There should be some growth. And also, in the middle of all of this, what's even more, in my opinion, was even more fucked up. So many people are going to have fucking selective memory when it comes to looking back on this. They're not going to say, I'm sorry. They're not going to say, my bad. They're not going to say, I have grown and evolved. Then they're not going to say, because we live in a society that does not want to admit its faults anymore. I've realized people that have humility, people that say, my bad, people that say, I'm sorry, and truly mean it with their hearts, that's rare nowadays. People that say, I fucked up, my bad, people that take responsibility for their actions, that is dying. And I don't, it's dying because it's a lot of people nowadays that do fucked up shit, say fucked up things, and keep it trucking tomorrow like they never said it.
Yeah, I just, like I said, it's sad because I think a lot of people are gonna pretend that this never happened.
Right.
No, but yeah, of course, anybody can perpetrate misogyny. Mm-hmm. The, you know, women, trans women, black, everybody. That's how we grew up. Number seven, it's not up to cis people to define trans women's experiences. And I think this is the most important part, and this is the major part that I believe, which is why the fuck I'm just like, oh yeah, I just believe people and I'm just leaving it at that. It didn't, right, didn't cost me a dime. Mm-mm. It didn't change anybody. Like, it didn't, all it cost me was however much time it took to read what people had to say or listen to what they had to say and go, okay, cool. An experience I just did not know about. You know, I hate that people's lives have to be educational for other folks, but that's also humanity. I'm sure my life is educational for some people, and Karen's life is educational for some people, even if we don't necessarily think of ourselves as educating folks. But I'm mm-hmm. sure there are some people that are like, I learned this thing because of you. You know, me observing you enabled me to see this, that thing or the other, right? But yeah, so it's not up to cis people to determine trans women's experiences. There's a very vocal community of cis folks who are, for whatever reason, highly invested in talking about and criticizing trans women's experiences. Many, many cis academics and media makers have spent a lot of time writing articles and books and films about what they think we are. But in the end, it's not up to cisgender people to define trans women in our lives. It's up to cis feminists to tell us. It isn't up to cis feminists to tell us when we may or may not call ourselves women. Trans women are entitled to the right to decide for ourselves what we believe and who we are, even when it is complicated and even when we disagree. And it isn't self-determination. And isn't self-determination even in the midst of a complicated, violent world, the point of feminism. So, yep. And like I said, that was on Everyday Feminism that I read that. And shout out to Marissa Janae, because she was the person that shared that on Facebook, and that's where I read it first. All right, speaking of which, beloved transgender icon performer China Doll Dupree was shot and killed in New Orleans. Have we read this before? Is this just like, are they just killing transgender women in Louisiana, like left and right,
like hotcakes? What is happening
the
down
fuck
there?
Like, it feel like a, like, I don't know, maybe, nope, fifth, you know, the fifth trans woman killed in 2017. China Doll Dupree, aka China Gibson, a beloved and nationally renowned drag performer from New Orleans, was shot and killed outside of a shopping center. Damn, I don't know if we read this before.
Mm-mm. We haven't.
She was shot several times, around 8:30 p.m. People nearby heard 8 to 10 shots ring out. No suspects are currently known.
8 to 10, god damn.
Nor is the motivation. Yeah, so this is different. Because that other one was a quote unquote robbery, but they just happened to rob another transgender woman earlier. Wow. Dupree was living in California, but returned to her hometown to celebrate Mardi Gras. Dupree was described as a very loving person by an unnamed woman who claimed to be related to her. She didn't do nothing to nobody. She was just a really good person. Friends said to a local news station, everybody loved her. This is unnecessary. Loved ones continue to mourn the transgender artist by sharing videos of her performances on Facebook and YouTube. My heart breaks as this community must find a way to honor you in death and begin to move forward. One person wrote, the stage will never be the same. Mike notes that, Mike, MIC, the publication, okay, that Dupree is the fifth transgender woman murdered in 2017. She is the third trans woman killed this month. And this might be old. This might be older than the other articles, because I feel like it was 9 or something the other day. So.
Ooh.
That's the other thing that seems so weird about this idea of people that aren't trans trying to define what people's lives must be like. Mm-hmm. It's such a small group of people. How could you tell them what their life is like?
Come on.
It's like, do you even know one person that's trans? Have you known them since they was a kid for you to be like, this is what your life was? It's so weird to me. It's so fucking weird. It's so, people just can't help it. All right. TampaBay.com. Jacksonville passes a historic LGBT protection. Jacksonville City Council has voted to update the city's civil rights laws to ban discrimination against gays and lesbians. That's right, because you could do it up until then. Tuesday's 12-6 vote. Well, six people voted against it.
Six people was like, nope.
Six people. Protect everybody.
Everybody. I don't know about everybody.
You mean like all the people, regardless of like orientation and shit?
Mm. You mean all of them?
So you mean you gonna be letting people out here have gay sex? And then we're going to turn around and protect everybody from getting fired for having the gay sex. I don't know.
I don't know.
I got to think about this. Let me see.
No.
I'm going to say no. I might have to say no on this one.
I'm not putting a no on it.
Don't cost me. And you know what? History will look back on this and say, I stood for my principles while 12 other people said, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Right.
Anyway, discrimination protection marks a historic moment in the LGBTQ community in a hard fought battle that's taken about 5 years. Now this is in Florida. I wonder if any of this, changed on a lot of people's minds after the Orlando shooting. Mm-hmm. After they shot up Pulse, I wonder if people was like, because like that's the thing about Florida, like a lot of stuff down there is starting to get passed, and there's a lot of like, we need to protect this historic landmark, and we need to renovate it, we need to give money, and we're gonna pass a law, we're gonna do that, and you're like, are y'all just doing this because y'all feel guilty because a bunch of gay people got killed? Mm-hmm. So y'all wouldn't have done this unless gay people got killed. Yep. Like, mm-mm. Somebody had to kill gay people, then you was like, we should see about them rights.
It's a whole lot of more than I thought.
Yeah, well, we still got some left.
Come on.
Advocacy group Equality Florida said the LGBT community, plus a coalition of over 700 small business and 200 faith leaders, has demonstrated the urgent need for these protections so that everyone, no matter their sexual orientation or gender identity, has the opportunity to earn a living and provide for their families. All right. I mean, that's good news, though. I mean, shout out to them six people that was hating, but that was good news. Church of England could change its stance on homosexuality, y'all. Yep. Could go from standing on the neck to just standing on your back. There you go. Leading figures in the Church of England are holding a massive debate on their stance on homosexuality and same-sex marriage. A report by the House of Bishops, which will be presented to the General Synod on Wednesday, says the church could adopt a fresh tone and culture of welcome and support for gay people.
Not fresh.
However, it adds that it shouldn't change its opposition to same-sex marriage, and that both gay and straight people training to join the priesthood should continue to have to answer questions about their lifestyle. In an open letter signed by 14 retired bishops, the proposed changes have been criticized for failing to recognize gay people's authentic voices. Protesters in Westminster outside, that's a picture. I was like, wait, what am I reading? No, I'm reading the caption of a picture. Okay, cool. Our experiences would lead us to doubt whether there was an expectation around that canons and doctrinal statements would be changed within any reasonable time scale, and that focus seems to have taken far from the time that it would have done if the authentic voices of lesbian and gay people had been allowed to express the major focus of their hopes. The report published last month is going to be the subject of a take note debate with more than 400 church leaders on the third day of the Synod at Church Hall in Westminster. This means that the Synod will discuss the content and recommendations of the report, and they may inform its work in the future. However, the proposals are not going to be formally rejected or approved. So it's just a debate. The lesbian and gay Christian movement has warned the proposals would formalize don't ask, don't tell among clergy and same-sex relationships, but the church rejects this claim. and a dignified, peaceful protest is being held on the steps of the building by Changing Attitude with the support of Peter Tatchell, Tatchell Foundation, and the Out and Proud African LGBTI. Thatchell said that he was appalled by the church's treatment of LGBT people. The bishop report defends heterosexual superiority and opposes same-sex blessings and marriages. He said, the church blesses dogs and cats, but it refuses to bless loving. Ain't that some shit?
Right! That's fucked up! The animals is more important than y'all.
Listen, we come here today to bless mittens.
Yes, mittens! Mittens is more blessed than y'all. Ain't that something else?
Lord, please allow this furry friend of the family.
We can't even take tithes and offering from it, but it's more blessed than you.
Please bless this furry animal, this feline. Mittens, go forth and prosper. Now, if you don't get your gay ass out of my church, get out of here, Jim and Tom. What y'all doing in here trying to get married? No, I don't bless you.
Right.
I anti-bless you. I curse you. Get out. Yeah, okay. It said, but it refuses to bless loving, committed same-sex couples. It treats LGBTI clergy and LGBT as second class, both within the church and the wider society. And they get to be in charge.
Come on.
And a synod is a council of the church, in case anybody was wondering.
Oh, thank you, because I didn't know.
Yeah.
I was assuming that, but I didn't know.
Remember last week we had that theater that banned Beauty and the Beast because it has a gay character in the new version of Beauty and the Beast?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they accidentally replaced it with a drag queen documentary.
Yes! That's what you get. You made it even gayer than it already was.
Why bigoted people gotta be stupid? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I'm not saying all bigoted people are stupid. I'm sure there's some very smart ones too. But it just... that Venn diagram, dog, look a lot like one circle is all I'm saying.
Somebody do not pay attention. They was like, we protest. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is even worse than what we were protesting.
Yeah. We just read about this. After refusing to screen Beauty and the Beast because of his newly revealed gay character, an Alabama theater accidentally scheduled a film about drag queens in this place. The Hanegar Drive-In mistakenly scheduled Fierce. Y'all didn't know. Y'all didn't know Fierce was about.
Yeah.
See, this is what happened when when you hate gay people so much, you don't even know the slang.
It was going to be Beyonce. What's happening right here?
He was like, instead of Beauty and the Beast, we will be showing the tea. It's coming up because we sick of y'all, and we're going to be drinking some tea. It's probably English. What is this? Oh, no. Oh, Jesus. Okay, you know what? Let's go with something wholesome. We're going to watch Milk. Okay, it's a documentary about drinking milk from cows because that is what God intended. And
right. No, that's not
this
it.
Is not
no that's not even
no this is no, not this is, no, the right movie
this is not it. You know what, even better, we're gonna do a movie called It's Lit. Everything, you know, it's just they're gonna be burning shit. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, okay. Oh. You know what, let's get rugged. What about Brokeback Mountain? Okay, this mountain was so harsh they broke their back. Right, we are gonna watch Brokeback Mountain because we're refused
that's a safe one
to give into Disney's gay agenda. Right. Let me read the
cancel this that one too, Jim Bob. No,
this is not what I thought.
No, I mean, is in the movie safe?
You know what? I'll tell you what. We can watch a movie about Philadelphia. I love the Eagles.
Me too.
The Eagles. Big Sixers fan. That's a great city, okay? It's the start of our liberty in America, okay? They got the Liberty Bell. No, this is not about... Tom Hanks is in. Okay. Well, you know what? How about this? We'll watch Stonewall. It's about stones and walls.
Right.
And gay people hate those things.
Oh, that's how my check they did.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, you're not going to believe this.
We got another one.
Yeah, the tagline for this movie is when life drags you down, drag it up. Good thing about drag racing.
That's what happened. Not that funny when bigoted people don't know slang or they separated from culture, this is what you get.
Now it has been pulled since, but man,
you don't say. Drag it
I
down.
I would have loved if they accidentally showed this shit. Woo-hoo. They would have been wondering why so many people showing up in drag and shit.
It'd have been lit.
They're like, yo, we got a lot of pink Cadillacs and shit in the Woo, theater gonna be packed today.
Where's all these pink wigs coming from? I don't understand. They said something about the Barbies out here. I don't understand.
Fucking idiot.
The beehive?
Just stupid and bigoted. It's fucking stupid. Anyway, all right, let's get into
some. They done messed around and people have been out there pre-gaming playing Sylvester. They'd have been confused.
Yeah, and for the record, for anybody else that's about to write in, I'm deadly serious. I'm not reading anybody. Like, if you're trans and you want to write in, cool.
Yeah.
If you want to write in, like, but I'm not no more people telling us what to think about what trans people said. Sorry. But I'm not really sorry. Because it's really ridiculous that people even felt the need to do that.
Right.
Michelle Obama wrote Yara Shahidi a college letter of recommendation. Yara is Blackish. Mm-hmm. We saw her when we were in Miami.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah. So.
And I'm telling you one thing, Michelle Obama write you a letter. I know that thing gonna be everything.
Yeah. No way. That's it's like a golden ticket. That's a golden ticket. You can go wherever
for the rest of your life.
I found this out today, and it was sad. And I hope everybody's sitting down and prepared for some bad news.
What's up?
All right, Karen, are you ready?
As ready as I'm gonna get.
It's with sad news that it's my duty to inform everybody. But many of y'all didn't know, and I don't want you to be surprised like I did. But
how do
the Taco Bell Naked Chicken Chalupa is no longer being sold.
Oh, they took it away. Oh, was it a limited time? It was actually good, as weird as that may sound.
First, we lost William. William Hill, rest in peace.
That sauce was flames.
And then turned around and we lost the Naked Chicken Chalupa, y'all.
I guess getting naked wasn't enough to keep it around.
It was a limited time offer and just pulled off of the menus. Rest in peace, Naked Chicken Chalupa. Thank you for everything you did for my family and for my stomach and my taste buds.
I don't know where is going to be. All I know is where we've been and what we've been through. If we get to see tomorrow, I hope it's worth all the pain. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
And I can't play the whole song, but aww, y'all get the gist. I know, guys, it hurt me too.
How did you find out? You wouldn't try to order it?
I tried to order it, man. I said, y'all, nothing's worse than going Taco Bell when they ain't got what you want.
All right.
There's nothing worse. There's everything else on that menu is useless. And I was at that Taco Bell where you got to wait behind all them people because you can't get out of line. That's how they trick you, because they know they like, if people can't find what they want, they'll leave. So they're like, put them in this line where they can't get out.
Oh, that one, I hate that. That one want to trap you. I hate that one. You can't pull off.
And they was taking their time. And I felt so embarrassed. I was like, y'all got the Naked Chicken Chalupa? And they was like, no. I was like, oh. They was like, well, can I help you? I was like,
nope, don't want nothing else.
Well, I felt embarrassed. I was like, I'll take a chicken soft taco, cause that's, one of the lighter things on the menu and shit. And I wanted to order something so I wouldn't feel silly after waiting for five fucking cars to go. Cause it took 20 minutes for them to get to me anyway.
Yeah, I'd have been like, mm-mm.
You wouldn't have been like, nothing, had no choice. That's my point.
I was like,
if I gotta wait in this bitch 20 minutes anyway, then I guess I'm gonna get a chicken soft taco. And guess what, Karen? Gave me the wrong order. Didn't have chicken soft taco.
you'd have been better off just waiting for the five cars and rolling off.
Oh, you know, I almost forgot to bring this up too. Some crazy white man knocked the mirror off my car today, y'all.
Gave me a heart attack when I'm talking to you. I'm sorry,
I was going to see Karen. Well, it was weird because I had this unnatural calmness about me in this situation where I think most people would have been very fucking upset. But I was coming to meet you, and for a random fucking reason, I decided to take the highway instead of the fucking normal way I take. I just made a right out of the apartment complex, not thinking. And I was like, oh, fuck it. I'll just take the highway. I'll still get there in time. It's no big deal. So I was coming down. I was about to make a left. And I was in the turning lane. And in front of me, I see this big-ass dump truck. And there's a car behind him, like, blowing his horn or something. And the guy in the car starts to open his door. And then the dump truck dude opens his door and hops out. And he's, like, trying to grab something from behind the seat. And I'm like, is this nigga getting a gun? And I started...
Right.
What's funny is I reached for my phone because my reflex was like, I need to record this in case something happens to somebody.
Right.
Because you never know, you know? No. Which, obviously, should have been thinking about my safety first. Right. I mean, he didn't pull out a gun or anything. I don't know what I would have... I was kind of stuck in traffic anyway. There was nowhere I could have gone, really. But anyway, so the white dude gets out and he has a stick and he pulls out the stick and I still have the stick, by the way. He starts walking towards this brown dude who gets out of his car, and he was like, to the dude, he was just like, hey, I mean, I couldn't hear him, but he was like approaching him, swinging his stick, right? And he was probably about a good 20 feet away from the guy when he takes the stick and just fucking throws it at him. Like, I don't know. Like, it made no sense to throw the stick. I mean, he had like 0% chance of hitting the dude. But he misses him. The stick hits the asphalt like 3 or 4 times, flips right into my car mirror. It's my passenger side, like the rear view mirror, the mirror you look to check the side and shit, the passenger side mirror, the one that says audience may be closer than they appear, right?
Right.
He hits my car. The fucking mirror flies off, just like, I guess it's designed that way where you can pop it off, which I learned that today.
Didn't know that.
It flies off into the middle of the fucking street. The stick is in the middle of the street. And then the guy...
You weren't afraid about getting hit? I mean, you got traffic moving around y'all, right?
Well, it was stuck because of the stoplight.
Oh, okay.
So then the guy... See, I'm like, hey, what the fuck? And I dropped my phone. I don't even remember where my phone was at. Which I meant to record this shit and take a picture of his plates.
Right.
But I was like...
Hey, how did I get involved?
Right. And then when he sees me, he then goes back into his truck. Now, I don't know if he was looking like, this nigga big, I don't want to fight this nigga.
Right.
Like, I was just trying to hit that small brown dude. I don't know what went through his fucking mind, but he gets back up in his truck. And, you know, and there was this old black man with a cane that was crossing the street in front of us. I stopped earlier to let him cross. And he stopped at the median and was like, damn, he hit your car. I was like, I know. And then, like, so
I love old black people.
And I think everybody thought I was gonna be mad,
right?
But I don't know, man. I had a calm around me.
Yeah, you always are, which, like that.
You know, it's almost it's a little bit scary because I was so calm that I was like, I hope nobody tries to do anything to me or whatever, because I have a clear mind. Like, if someone tries to touch me or something, I will beat the fuck out of you in the middle of the street. No questions asked. Like, I was definitely thinking very clear-headed. It wasn't a rage, or I think sometimes people have rage issues and they get out of control. I'm not that kind of person,
right?
And I was trying to calm everyone down, but like the dude who had the stick thrown at him, he comes over to my car and he's all, hey, you okay, man? Do you see that? This motherfucker's crazy. I was like, yep, I saw it. That is crazy. I don't know what happened. He's like, he almost drove me off the road, and then he threw the stick at me and shit. And I was like, yeah. He's like, I'm calling the police right now. I'm calling the police. And he had like pulled off the road and was calling the police and getting the tag number, because the guy's tag wasn't on the back of his dump truck, it was on the side.
Okay.
So he was taking out a tag number, and then I was looking for my fucking mirror to see if I could put it back on my car.
Right.
And then
somebody would have rolled over and crushed it.
The old black man stopped what he was doing, came back. He's like, and I kept, my car was running and shit, so I'm like, you know, I'm trusting you, old black man. Don't hop in my fucking car and ride off. I'm gonna be mad. But he was like, he was like, man, you okay, man? I was like, I'm fine, dog. I'm just trying to get my mirror. He was like, get that stick too, man. You might need that. The police might need that. I was like, yeah. He's like, you need to call the police. I was like, yeah, I hear you. But I was really looking to see how much damage was done to the car,
right,
to see if I needed to file an insurance report or something. Mm-hmm. And so I looked at the mirror, and what happened is the passenger side mirror, there's not a lot of physical damage. Like, it's not scratched or anything, but it's definitely, like, you could see where the stick hit it.
Okay.
And then I was in the middle of traffic when I had to go get the stick and shit. And he was like, you want me to get it? And I'm like, nigga, you have a fucking cane. You can bet. No, like,
tell you hit you.
Yeah, I said, I got it, man. Just, you,
I don't
want you're
to be
fine.
Accountable for your death out here. No.
Yeah, he was like, because you need a witness. You talk to the police. I said, no, sir. You, it's fine. Don't worry about it. He was like, oh, I gotta go catch the bus. I said, please catch. Do not miss the bus for me.
No, please don't.
And the other dude came, and it's like right when I was picking up the stick and putting it in my car and putting the mirror on, I just got back in the car and the police rolled up. And that's just because the police always be over in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And the officer, you like, they went and talked to the officer. I wasn't even gonna get out of my car, and I definitely didn't want to talk to the police, to be honest.
Right.
And I don't, you know, I don't know if that's the most rational thing, because I had done nothing wrong.
But it don't matter.
But I just didn't.
I didn't want to fit nobody's descriptions.
Yeah, it just, I didn't, I would rather not have the police involved. And right. I mean, now if it's something where I gotta testify or something, I'll do that, because, right, I mean, it's, this white dude, like, he was throwing that stick, like, it's Trump's America now, boy! You know, so I'll definitely testify against that motherfucker. And especially since he didn't have the goddamn, he didn't have the fucking respect to come over, cause he didn't mean to hit my car with that stick, but he damn sure didn't take any responsibility, didn't come over and offer to pay for it. He didn't apologize. He just left his stick in the middle of the road, and he left me with a broke mirror on my fucking car, and he drove off. So if that officer caught up with him, they got my phone number. So if they call me, best believe I will be filing a report. I have no problem with that.
Mm-mm.
But, you know.
It sounded like he was on the clock.
Right, right. He was driving a dump truck. It wasn't like his personal vehicle.
Right.
So
he personally has a dump truck.
So whatever it is, if they track him down and he loses his job or something, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I'll be definitely returning any voicemails I get, cause fuck that dude. But yeah, I'm okay. I figured out how to get my mirror back on. It took a second, but it just popped right back on and I'm good. I gotta go to the next segment. Y'all give me a second. But yeah, I was like, let me just go meet Karen for lunch, because this is fucking ridiculous. All right, I'm gonna go live. Yes, let me invite y'all over.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going live. There we go. And I will invite you on the screen, Karen. Just give me 1 second. That, I don't know who that person is. No, you're not invited on.
Duh.
Sorry about that. All right, just invited you on the screen. But yeah, it was, I think my adrenaline wasn't pumping or anything. I just wasn't mad. I just was more like annoyed and just thinking like, you stupid motherfuckers. Just, and then also like, it was wild the way I watched it happen. It felt like I was watching a movie, or like, I knew what was gonna happen before it happened, because like literally I was thinking to myself like, don't let this motherfucker have a gun. And then he pulled out the stick. I said, do not throw that fucking stick. And he started throwing the stick, and I was like, don't let this stick hit my fucking car. As soon as it hit my fucking car, I was like, oh man, god damn it. Like, I knew this shit was gonna happen. This is what I get from even fucking looking to see if I can help somebody. This is my fault. I should have just been a bad person and drove off. Like, fuck y'all, move.
Get out the way.
What kind of person throws a fucking stick at a person?
What were you going to do when it's one of the things?
Thank you, Nightwing, nigga. What the fuck?
Come on. And I'm going to tell you from my perspective, because you was like, well, I'm leaving at 2:05. I was like, okay, cool. I clocked that at 2:05. I'm on my way. You on your way. Okay, cool. I said, I gotta get some gas. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So I basically left the job, got some gas, and got there, and I was waiting and waiting and waiting. And I was thinking, well, did he leave later? You know, I was just thinking, I didn't know what was tying you up. I said, you know, I was like, am I going to have to go in and eat without him? I was like, you know, I didn't know what was happening. And when you did call, it made me panic because, okay, you're calling me. I'm not trying to be funny. So I was like, well, you're not texting, you're calling. So something happened. And I'm telling you right now, in my mind, when I heard this other person's voice who I was unfamiliar with speaking in the background, I was like, okay, did you get in the wreck?
Right.
You know, and B, I was like, okay, this person is close. I'm going to tell you from my perspective. I'm like, okay, this person is close to my husband. Is there getting ready to be altercation? You know, what's getting ready to happen? You know, am I going to have to leave here and go to wherever you were? Cause I was getting ready to call my job, be like, y'all know what? I won't be in for the rest of the day. I don't know what y'all got planned on, but cancel all your plans for me today. Yeah. Do what you got to do. Because I was like, I didn't really know what was happening, and it made my heart panic. I was like, okay, am I gonna be listening on the phone and hear my husband get an altercation? Am I gonna listen on the phone and, you know, hear my husband get shot? Like, I'm just telling you what was happening in my mind. I'm glad it wasn't, that big of an ordeal, but once you start explaining and I realized you was okay, I was fine, but initially my heart started skipping.
Well, that's another reason I try to be calm, is because I don't want to cause other people to panic. But yeah, man, it was weird because even after all that, then as soon as the police pulled up, I was like, nope, I'm ready to leave. And the police turned on their lights and went driving after where the truck went. I don't know if they found that person or not. So anyway, that happened. Crazy white people.
Right.
What about the kids in Wisconsin?
What about them? And like I said, and I don't know if that's irrational, illogical thinking, but that's just kind of where my mind went.
No, you're not being irrational or logical. Seafood company is convicted of animal cruelty for improperly killing lobsters.
Oh, how do you improperly kill a lobster?
I mean, there's no true humane way to kill a lobster, right? I mean, don't they boil them motherfuckers alive and shit?
End result, they dead. I've never seen it, but that's what I've heard.
Well, end result, they dead is not, that is not necessarily, I mean, that's like saying, there are inhumane ways to kill something to eat it.
So you're making it suffer more than it has to. That's what they're saying. Okay, yeah. Okay.
There are inhumane ways. But with a lobster, I just can't imagine, because, like, one of the ways is boiling them alive. So.
That's what I
heard. How's that not just as bad, I guess? I don't know. Australian-based Nicholas Seafoods was caught killing lobsters in an illegal manner. Part of the process, according to Washington Post, the company was found guilty of violating local animal cruelty laws in New South Wales area and punished a $1,500 fine. They were using a bandsaw to cut off the tails of the lobsters while they were still alive.
Oh!
The company was the first to be fined under the region's lobster cruelty laws, which means it was, it happened so much they had to pass a law. It's possible that this incident is one of the first occurrences of a business being charged with a lobster-related cruelty crime in the world. This may be because laws that protect lobsters don't really exist globally. The United States, for example, doesn't protect fish or crustaceans, including lobsters, under its animal cruelty laws. And if you're wondering how a lobster is humanely killed, some suggestions include electrically stunning or chilling the lobster before quickly ending its life with a single strike through the center of the lobster's head and chest area with a knife.
Wow. I'd rather just boil it alive. Just give it a hot sauna dip. All this other bullshit.
Pretty sure that's also not that humane.
None of it's actually humane. They're delicious. None of it's humane. But it's just for the fact that you thinking I'm just going to saw your tail off. Nah, dog.
Okay. Doe B is a rapper and he has an album coming out. Problem is, Doe B died, like in 2000, maybe 12 or something.
What? I don't understand.
2013. He died just after Christmas. He's T.I.'s former protege. He was gunned down tragically, but his estate is now ready for a posthumous album of unreleased songs. But there's just one problem. The album cover, guys. The album cover is kind of creepy. I'm assuming Karen hasn't seen this and probably... No.
So he dead and somebody's taking his stuff and putting the album out?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which isn't really the problem. The problem is the actual cover of the album.
Okay.
Is it showing up in the chat yet?
Not yet.
Let me make sure that it...
Oh! What's happening here? What happened to his eye?
To his eye?
Why are we looking like a pirate?
A lot of people wear eye patches, Karen. I mean, Slick Rick wore an eye patch.
Dana Dane
had an eye patch.
Some
people wear eye patches.
I know this, and there's nothing wrong with the eye, with him having an eye patch. The problem is that I didn't know you could color coordinate your eye patches.
I mean, if you're gonna die, you might as well be fresh to death.
Yeah, shit, you might as well be.
Well, the album is called No Life After Death.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
Oh!
Yep. So, yeah, apparently, his mother is down with the cover, but the mother of his children is not with it. She does not like it. If you want to do anything for his kids, leave them with the last image they had of their father, not him laying in the casket. There is no amount of money that would make me compromise his dignity and respect. The love of money is the root of all evil, she said. Damn. Nah. So I guess, people must not care. Are people gonna buy this even? Is it worth all this?
The mixtape man probably gonna have it.
Yeah. But yeah, so I guess people cool with it. But yep. No life after death. media outlets are accused of racism because there was this cute video, and I do think it was cute. And I saw it late, and I did not see it with the rest of Twitter, but there was this man being interviewed on the BBC where his kids somehow got into the room during this important video live interview he was doing over Skype.
Aww.
And then a woman comes in and she's like on the ground like obviously trying to avoid the camera, but it's obvious that you can see her on the camera,
right? Because
and she like snatches them little babies up and leaves the room and they close the door, and I thought that was so cute and adorable.
Aww.
And really thought that was all there was to it. And I just didn't happen to see the hubbub on Twitter about it. Well, apparently, because his wife was a brown woman, an Asian lady, apparently people thought she was his nanny. And so people assumed, instead of his wife, that his nanny had come in there and snatched the kids up. I will try to play the video for everybody so y'all can see it. Like I said, to me, and this is one of the benefits of not seeing it with other people, I just wasn't tainted. Like, nobody had... Like, even the video I saw didn't say nanny, mother, anything. It's just like, look at this video, the most important interview of his life, and his kids come in the room. And I just started laughing, like, oh my God, that's hilarious.
Kids, that shit the kids do.
Yeah, kids are adorable.
He had no idea, did he?
No, and the way the kids, like, stomped in there, it was just so, like, one of the kids just came walking in. Oh, it was so good. All right.
And with it being such a wide camera angle, especially when you're by yourself, you don't know.
Yeah, well, you'll see. He knows after a while when the kids...
No, I would argue that this is a triumph of democracy. Scandals happen all the time. The question is, how do democracies respond to those scandals?
And what will it mean for the wider region? I think one of your children has just walked in. I mean, shifting sands in the region. Do you think relations with the North may change?
I would be surprised if they do.
Oh, he's pushing the baby back right... No, not right now. Me. Not right now, baby. Not right now. Oh, two of them!
Even the one on the walker got in.
What will this mean for the region?
My apologies.
That's normally how it goes.
South Korea's policy towards North Korea have been severely limited in the last 6 months to a year because of North Korea's behavior, most recently the use of VX gas.
I think it's adorable.
Aww.
Right? I mean, kids do the darndest things.
Yeah, so you got one, and the other one's right behind it.
Yeah.
So, hey, I'm mobile, too.
Right. Well, apparently, this has been the fucking Rorschach test of the world, because so many people assume she was a nanny, but yet, of all the people, it's not because of her race, y'all. They said she was acting like a nanny. That's how nannies act, apparently. Nobody's racist. No implicit bias. Because it was black people making jokes, too. And I can't, like I said, can't even say I wouldn't have made the joke. I literally came in late, so I just don't know. If I would have seen, if the first thing I would have saw was someone saying she was the nanny, I probably would have been like, oh, she the nanny. Okay, I guess I got some jokes. But I just didn't see it. And I didn't see anyone calling a wife either. And it says something about my life. Okay, right. Let me say, it says something about my life. I assume she was the wife when watching the video, because I did not think a nanny could snatch nobody's kids like that and not get in trouble.
Come on, put your hands on kids like that.
Like, come she on. Snatched them kids up out of there, like, come on, like, by the arm. I was like, oh, that must be the mom panicking that this is her husband's big interview.
Or put like this, or relative. Like, even if she wasn't a wife, I'm like, okay, she must be related to him in some way, shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah.
Heard him in there and was like, come on.
To be honest, I didn't even think relative. I thought mom.
Okay.
Because I was like, don't nobody put their hands on your kid like that except you. You can't just put your hands on, like, yank up their arm like that unless that's your baby. That says something about me. It's like I said, it's a test almost. The ink blot test where people are like, is a butterfly? No, it's a tree. It's a leaf. It's like that for me because so many people had different reads of this. But the thing for me was, I don't understand how people could say they assumed it was his nanny and yet her race played zero part in it.
It seems so weird
to me that people can't even admit that. But I have no choice but to believe him, man. A lot of people said that she was just acting like a nanny. I'm like, what does that mean? Like, she was scared for her job or something. I said, okay, cool. Now we know it's not the nanny. It's his mom. It's the mom. Are you not questioning why she was so scared then? Cause to me, I didn't read it. It didn't read as scary. It read as like,
the kids got away from me.
Yeah, like panic, like these kids are fucking them out, the dad's interview.
Right, you trying to make money and here come the kids.
Yeah, and especially that first kid is the best.
Right.
She just came up in there like, what we doing on Skype, daddy?
Right, and it took the other man to go, hey, you know your kids in there.
We getting interviewed. It's also kind of funny too that that's how society is now. Like, it's like a big shame of children. Everybody got kids, you know what I mean? But it's so like, how dare a child into this space? I wonder how this video goes over if he like picks up the child and puts her on his lap and he's like, oh, sorry, let's just finish this interview, you know? Instead it's just like, get these children off the screen. He's like, I'm sorry, I don't know what's happening.
He went into a panic mode, and a lot of you got parents that would have been went both ways, depend, but a lot of people would have panicked, like, oh my god, you're gonna fuck up my interview, get away.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not trying to position myself as better than other people either.
No.
I like I said, maybe it's worse. Maybe that says something about the way I was raised, that I think a mom can snatch her kids up and that's okay. And maybe other people felt that it wasn't snatching, it wasn't aggressive.
I wouldn't want a nanny touching my children like that.
Yeah, it felt kind of aggressive to me, but in a way where it's like, it's your family, so you can do that.
Yeah, no, the one in Walker was hilarious. But yeah, honey, your kids in Walkers can move fast, and depend on what kind of walk it is. Some of them, they actually had to ban because children were actually rolling downstairs and shit, because it makes a child mobile. You know, and they just going on about their way.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know, dog. I think it's a very simple explanation. People assume she was a nanny because she is Asian and he's white.
Right.
And I don't think if a white woman came in there and snatched them kids up the exact same way, or just two people of the same race or whatever, I think most people would be like, that's the wife. You know, I'm not even saying that the assumption's correctness is okay either. Cause let's say you were right. Still kind of, you know, we're still assuming, we're still guessing. It's still based off of stereotypes and gender roles that we have in our head and shit. Like, it's still all of those things. Let's say that she would have been his nanny and not his wife, and everybody, they would have wrote an article about how many people assumed that she was the wife when she was just a nanny or some shit. Like, it's definitely. Yeah, it's definitely based off the fact that we had a very little information and people started going in, making jokes on this cute viral video. I just thought it was cute.
But I'm being fully
transparent by saying I thought it was his wife, but only because she snatched them kids up. And I thought that was hilarious.
And the thing about it, I didn't see the whole clip. Mm-hmm. All I seen was a gif of him talking and the first kid coming in halfway, and then it stopped. Like, it didn't show the whole transaction. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought it was cool. Nicki Minaj goes off on Party Next Door on Twitter, says, "Don't say you wrote my shit."
And we heard this Party Next Door in the White People News.
I want to say, yeah, I want to say he
was dating a girl or something.
Yeah, he was.
Did some fucked up.
Oh, no, it wasn't White People News. He was in a love triangle between him and Kyrie Irving. We may have covered it on Balls Deep or something.
Oh, okay, my bad. Because yeah. I remember that particular name because it's so unique, it stands out.
Him and Kyrie Irving were dating the same girl. I think that, who was it? Was it Kehlani or was it?
Yeah, somebody Janae said somebody.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. I just know it's one of them girls.
Yeah,
one of them little girls.
Yeah, I know.
One of them little fast ass girls. You know, go full black aunt on y'all.
Right. And I remember the story because witnessed something like they were dating. Her and Kyrie were dating.
Oh God, I don't remember any of this. Oh. I don't remember the details.
Okay, yeah.
It wasn't that consequential at the time. I just remember that he was involved in dating.
Yeah, because I remember he did some fucked up shit. I remember that too.
Yeah, it's like a love triangle or something. At any rate, Nicki Minaj apparently went and got mad at him on Twitter because people were saying that her new song, "Regret in My Tears," sounds a lot like Party Next Door's signature sound. And he was retweeting the people that were saying that shit. Party Next Door, hope they paying you good money for them songs, bro. You keep saving people. Also, at Party Next Door is the most underrated dude on the planet, one of the best right now. Party Next Door, your ghostwriting does not go unnoticed, my brother. Real fans still hear you. So everybody gonna ride at Party Next Door, coattail to number one. Away's Party Next Door reference track, and with a picture of Nicki Minaj's new video. Nicki went on Twitter and said, not sure why he was liking tweets. Maybe it was just funny to him. Maybe he was hacked. LOL. Either way, this too much. Oh, she used the hashtag. Fuck out of here. Party Next Door has nothing to do with hashtag regret in your tears. Nigga ain't never heard that song a day in his life. Bless y'all heart. He must have thought the caption said, work. LOL. Internet getting spooky, man.
Oh, Lord.
Like the nigga never heard the song a day in his life. Oh man. So apparently Nicki was upset. And then Party Next Door went on Twitter and said, I can't believe we're calling this grown man this. What is his real name?
Right.
I have to Google this man's real name. I cannot be a part of this anymore. Hold on.
Right. That's why I remember his name. Don't ask me his real. But like, did you say his real name? I'm like, who? You gonna be like, you know the boy named Party Next Door.
I have to know his real name. I mean, does it at least start with a P or something? I just can't. I mean, his name like Patrice next Dover. Is that his, like what is his name? Anyway, on Twitter he said, I'm a fan of Nicki Minaj. We have a song together. I hope she's as cool as I always imagined. And that was that. I guess he was trying to be above it, but he since deleted the tweet. So maybe he took it back. So yep. I guess we'll see. Party Next Door. His name is Jerron Anthony Braithwaite.
Brathwaite. Where the hell we get a Party Next Door?
I don't. I guess Jerron Anthony Braithwaite was taken on Twitter. I don't know what happened. Anyway, Nicki was mad at someone other than Remy Steele. Interesting. Let's see what else we can talk about. I guess we can do some fucking with black people. Let me see what I even had it as.
It's plenty in that category.
Let me see if anything happened I feel like talking about before I make that promise to the audience.
I know we might just
feel like talking about some of this. Hold on. Yep, let's get it over with. Let's get it on. Alright, let me find the music for the segment. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe. We find different articles, make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100 intervals, 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. Cosmopolitan published a racist study that says the 10 most beautiful women in the world, and guess what, Karen?
What?
They was all white.
Of course.
And they said it was according to science. So scientifically, the most beautiful women in the world are all white women. Amber Heard, number one. Kim Kardashian, number two.
You know, I don't know most of these people. I know Kim Kardashian is.
Amber Heard is the woman that Johnny Depp beat.
Okay.
Sad that that's the way got you to know it.
Right, because I was like, I don't know who this random white woman is.
Kate Moss.
I've heard of that name.
Emily Ratajkowski. Kendall Jenner. Helen Mirren. Helen Mirren beat out all the black women in the world. Wow.
I've heard of that name. She's an actress, right?
Yeah. Scarlett Johansson, Selena Gomez, she Latina, Marilyn Monroe, and Jennifer Lawrence.
Ain't Marilyn Monroe dead?
She is dead. She is dead.
Oh, okay. I thought this, what, bitch, you mean tell me a dead white woman? Get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Whole list.
I mean, just because she fucked your favorite president don't make her the beautiful white woman in the world.
Still, by science, Karen.
White girls eugenic going through my mind. Sarah Jackson and Julie too. White girls. Judy Bass and Sharon. Help me,
I want. This is my jam on the low, though.
Don't tell Minister Farrakhan. He don't wanna know what's going on. Cause white girls won't go away.
Yep, apparently white girls are the only beautiful people. Scientifically, Karen. 10 most beautiful women in the world. White. The Aryan race. Them and Jeff Sessions had that in common.
One Latino that passes is right.
Oh, yeah.
That's insulting to her.
Oop, oop, oop. I wasn't going to spill the tea.
Yeah, that's very insulting to her. I mean, because she's not white.
Yep. Well, anyway, 0 to 100.
Oh, that's definitely 100 because, yeah, there's a lot of problems with it, with that. Because, honey, like I said, maybe it's just me.
Mm-hmm.
Honey, it is some brown regular, I mean they're not famous brown regular women that can put all them to shame. Like
I know, man. Sometimes like, I just be like
regular women just walking around. You're like, oh, you're gorgeous.
What the fuck is the world like if you, I don't even want to know. I can't imagine people that don't find black women beautiful. That's ridiculous to me. Like.
right,
like, that's just a white supremacy at work. Like whenever you hear somebody say something like, I'm just not into black women, I don't find them attractive, it's like, yo, something is fucking wrong with you, and that's right. It
because the most fascinating part is that when you do this list, you have all these white women on there, but yet a lot of times white women as whole do everything they can to darken their skin, widen their lips, make their hips bigger, make their eyes wider, like they'll do all these things.
Meanwhile, you can go straight down to like a Sally's Beauty Supply and be like, God damn, you know what I mean? This is crazy. Oh well, Mo, you know what? Mo for me to look at. That's fine. I don't need your validation. Speaking of beauty supply stores, apparently, we got something going down in our own town, Karen. With being fucked with. This is my first time hearing of it.
A West Charlotte store owner is under fire after
I'm putting it on screen.
Okay. Video shows them kicking and actually, it's moving kind of slow. Hold on. American woman.
It came on.
Yeah, it came up.
Okay, all right, sorry.
The owner here is Asian, and this happened at the Misha Beauty Thursday. Well, today, community leaders and
Jesus, what's up with this video? Oh, I accidentally paused it. All right, well, let me see if I can make it bigger for one, and then I'll hit play again. All right, now.
Customers gathered outside the store calling for a boycott. WBTV's Christian Flores joins us now live outside where all this happened. So, Christian, that video, pretty hard to watch. I know you talked to the store owner. What did he have to tell you?
Well, Sharon, the owner did confirm that that was indeed him in the video, and he also says that he's sorry to the woman he put in a chokehold, but he also says that he did that to keep her in his store until
I don't know if that part of the video played when I first played it.
Yeah, because it might be moving. It's not moving on my screen, but that's okay.
It's not moving at all?
Is under not fire on my after screen. A cell phone video shows them kicking and choking almost an African-American woman.
Yeah, he kicked
woman.
Her in the leg.
The here is Asian, and this happened at the Pulled
her to the ground.
Thursday. Well, today, community leaders and customers gathered outside the store calling for a boycott. WBTV's Christian
Flores joins us now
live outside where all this happened. So, Christian, that video, pretty hard to watch. I know you talked to the store owner. What did he have to tell you?
Well, Sharon, the owner did confirm that that was indeed him in the video, and he also says that he's sorry to the woman he put in a chokehold, but he also says that he did that to keep her in his store until police arrived. He told us that she stole from him, but protesters say whatever the case, he should not have gone to this extreme.
Take my bag. I'm telling you, I don't have it.
What started as an owner's concern over a possible shoplifter quickly escalated into a physical altercation moments later.
Are you serious?
You see the owner of Misha Beauty, Sung Ho Lim, kick the woman, then take her to the ground and put her in a chokehold.
Disturbed.
Disgusting.
This video has been circulating on social media. And on Sunday, community leaders and customers held a protest calling for a boycott of the store.
He took it upon himself to treat her in the ways that no woman should be treated. In fact, no person should be treated.
I will never, ever come in this store again.
Lim talked with protesters, apologizing to them.
That's the whole my fault.
But protesters say this apology may not be enough. Charlotte Mecklenburg's NAACP chapter, as well as national civil rights activist John C. Barnett, showed up to the protest, saying the possible racial implications in this confrontation cannot be ignored.
It reminds me of any historical attack on black people.
Whatever the case may be, we do know that, he can't be keeping someone in a chokehold.
But Lim says this had nothing to do with race. He tells WBTV the camera phone footage doesn't show her stealing from his store. He filed a police report, telling officers she stole eyelashes. However, no charges have been filed. One man who works in a store near Misha Beauty says this is not how you handle a shoplifter.
When I think they may be stealing, I mean, as far as stores, most of them have cameras in them.
Lim says he should not have taken things this far.
Right. I wasn't crazy, you know. No matter what the reason, but I feel very sorry to her.
But for protesters,
this woman could have gotten killed.
They don't think he understands how serious his actions were.
When he was choking her, he was almost choking her to death.
And no one has been charged in this case. We're told the woman actually left the store before police arrived. Now, Lim tells us he plans on apologizing to the woman face-to-face sometime tomorrow. Reporting live in West Charlotte, Christian.
Shit. Look, obviously, if any crime occurred, if there was shoplifting or something, obviously that's, shouldn't stop lifting, blah, 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 blah. You can't put your fucking hands on somebody, dog. That's what police are for. It's the fucking cameras are for. You can't just be putting your fucking hands over eyelashes. I don't know enough about beauty shit. Are eyelashes worth $1 million now? Is that, mm-mm. Is it worth the lawsuit you might get for putting your hands on somebody?
Mm-mm.
Is it worth going to court over? Is it worth the court cost? The fuck, man? You lost your goddamn mind. And yeah, I believe if it wasn't a black woman, you wouldn't put your hands on her. That's just my belief. That would have been some white lady, you would have been like, I'm gonna take this L, I'm gonna call the cops and do this shit the right way. But yeah, watching that video, 100 for me. I don't put your hands on nobody, dog. Period. I don't even blame her for leaving before the police came. Honestly. Even if I would have done nothing wrong, I probably would have left before the police came. Just for the mere, they don't even have her on video stealing nothing. The fuck?
Yeah, because from my understanding, I think that from my understanding, he accused her, because my coworker was telling me about it, he accused her of stealing and actually looked into her purse.
Right.
She actually opened up her purse and had him dig through her purse and he didn't find anything. He turned around. Other customers was in the store. He locked the doors so that nobody actually could leave the store to lock her in there.
What?
And then this altercation proceeded.
What? Oh yeah, that's why they boycotting.
And because the person actually video recording it, so nobody could get out of the store at the time. And so I got something to say about this. I'm gonna tell you right now, shit like this really pissed me off, because you have a lot of people of Asian and Korean descent that come into the black communities, and a lot of them don't give a fuck about the black community.
Right.
You sell us products, you sell us perm, you sell us hair, you sell us wigs, you sell all this stuff.
Food,
yeah. Right, in the right. Black community, but you don't care. A lot of you make billions of dollars, make money, bring your family and friends over, get them into it, profiting off of the black community. A lot of these Asian stores, a lot of them, you don't see these in white neighborhoods. You see them in right. The ghetto and in brown parts of whatever, wherever you are, okay?
And still able to maintain the model minority reputation that we're never afforded. Like, right. Still able to be like, those hardworking immigrants, they come to America, they just study, they just do the right thing, they start businesses, they help their family out, and they get all this credit on the backs of our money, and then do shit like this.
Right, and then... What really makes me mad is that you profit off of us. You come here, you make money, you get loans for these businesses that we could never qualify for. They wouldn't even consider getting us. Then what the biggest thing, if you know anything about how the structure is set up, they have such a fucking monopoly on this industry. They have a monopoly. They go and they buy warehouses. They go and they do wholesale. And a lot of times black people that try and attempt to break into these markets can't. They don't allow them to the seminars. They don't allow them to the shows. And then a lot of times if you do get it, you're paying sometimes twice or triple the price. And then niggas complain, why your price is so high? It's because I was charged more for wholesale. Because these Asian people have dominated so much, they family, they friends, they strung it. So I can't even crack into this industry if I want to. That's why when a lot of black people want to sell their products, they do other avenues. They go online. They have to do the alternative routes because you can't attempt to do the traditional route because you're blackballed out of the market. You know how a lot of times you have these stores and you run out of something, they'll go around and say, well, hey, do you have this? Do you have that? And they'll swap products and all that stuff. They will not do this with you unless you are a part of the of their community. So my thing is that you profit off of black people, but yet I'm going to tell you right now, for me personally, I've shopped at a lot of these places. And it's very insulting and it's very demeaning sometimes to go into some of these stores because you walk into some of these stores and you look up at every corner. It's a big ass mirror in every fucking corner down every goddamn aisle. I'm telling you this because I want to make a point here. And because a lot of men don't go to these stores, so they don't know what the fuck women are complaining about. You go into these stores, they got mirrors on every aisle. A lot of times these mirrors have cameras. A lot of times they have cameras in the ceiling. They have cameras you can watch. And guess what? Some of this shit don't even work. A lot of times they do it to intimidate people just to prevent them from stealing. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, a lot of times, even to the way where the registers are, a lot of times they don't have to do this, but a lot of times they register the stuff is set higher and it's purposely set higher so that they can watch the stores. I've been in stores and watched this motherfucker go from side to side as I go up and down the aisle watching me. I've been in there walking around and you have a motherfucker just watching you. They won't say shit. They're fumbling with shit. Bitch, you work here. I'm not asking you for help. Why are you following me around the goddamn store? And if I was to turn around and say something, I would be the motherfucking problem because you're accusing me of stealing. Yes, people steal. Yes, people take from you. Yes, it causes your costs to go up. Yes, it does. Well, my thing is this, you pay insurance and stuff to cover this cost. There are better ways to handle it. But the problem is that you're in the communities where you think everybody in this fucking community is goddamn stealing for you because you think we're less than, you think we're fucking thieves, and it's a fucking problem. So I've gotten to the point where I don't go anymore. You know what I do? I go to motherfucking Sally's because you know what? You don't walk around and watch them white women, bitch.
Yep, not to mention, where y'all be at when, you know, motherfuckers get shot up the street by the cops, people want to march. Where you at when something happens in our community and you make the money off our community, but you ain't supporting nobody in our community. You know, when you give back to the causes, to our schools, to our children's programs, when y'all gonna sponsor one of our football teams for our youth, or you know, provide some opportunities for people, when y'all gonna employ people that, you know, live in that same community? Because you damn sure will accuse us of stealing, you damn sure will watch us like hawks, you damn sure will treat us like inmates at the first sign of anything, you know. And like I said, I don't blame old girl from leaving before the police showed up.
Right.
Even if you don't do anything, like, you just never know what they're gonna assume after you've been accused of something, even if you didn't do it.
Right. Because a lot of times for white people that are listening, he called the police on her. If she didn't leave, it's a possibility that she could have got fucking arrested, and she's the victim here. Because a lot of times when these incidents happen, it's automatically assumed that regardless, you're a brown person, you did it because it's right. A privilege here. Yes, we're all minorities, but it's a privilege here. And they're going to look at him as a quote unquote model citizen, him and his wife, and just assume that they're telling the truth. And right. That's where the problem comes in. And right. Also, yes, fucking boycott him. Stand out front of his store every goddamn day, because I wanted to be sure it wasn't somewhere I shopped mm-hmm. or had shopped in the past, because I was going to be like, fuck you. I'm telling everybody, don't come here again. If you right. have to go out of your way, go out of your way. Make him, but I just, the thing is, he don't think what he did was bad, because his thing was, I'll go, bitch, don't talk to me. You got a lawsuit coming to you. Mm. Well, you put your hands on me.
Well, here's the thing. I do think he's apologizing to the crowd and to that woman. I just don't think he's doing it because he got caught. Cause it's video. I just don't believe that out of the goodness of his heart, he realized he was wrong. The way I'm looking at him choke this woman over $5.99 worth of eyelashes, no dog, you don't do that unless you already think that we're subhuman. You just don't do that. That's not a natural reaction. I worked at like Media Play. If a motherfucker stole a CD and they was walking out that door, then they just got a CD, bruh. Okay? My name ain't Mr. Media Play. And I damn sure ain't worried about $5.99 worth of eyelashes, dog. Like, you must be out your motherfucking mind. Only somebody that thinks everyone that walks in his store is a goddamn thief, and everybody is worth fighting over and shit, and you gonna prove you the toughest owner on the block, would do something like that. And it's, you know, it's very fucked up, man. So yeah, it's and especially knowing how, you know, our community basically is, it's supposed to be a partnership, but so often we're just treated like fucking you know, like I said, like prisoners or thieves or inmates and shit. Like, we're just treated like criminals from the second you walk in certain places. Like, it's one of the reasons that, you know, when you walk in like a certain convenience store or some shit, you don't feel it feel like the difference between some white man with a fucking Dixie flag shirt watching me or some Asian dude following me around the store. It makes no difference to me. Both of them make me feel unwelcome, you know? So yeah, it's definitely, you know, a common issue. So.
Right. And it wouldn't surprise me if they go back. This is probably not the first time he put his hands on somebody. I right. guarantee you.
They just had a camera right, this time.
Incidents have happened before where somebody may have accused him and may have even reported it, but they didn't want to charge.
Right.
Or either something happened, and because you're in the black community and it's assumed that you're always guilty, they didn't report it because they didn't want to make a scene, or they didn't want the police to turn around and arrest them. So it was just one of those things where, guarantee you, he has a history of this, because you don't openly put your hands on somebody like that and wrestle them to the ground and almost choke them to death without you doing this to the past, without you feeling comfortable enough in your store to feel like this behavior was okay. What if you would have killed her in your store over fucking change? Believe you me, that yakki ain't worth it. That
it was eyelashes.
Right.
It was eyelashes. Not that any amount would have been okay, but it wasn't even weave, man. It was eyelashes. You choked a girl out over eyelashes. You thought that was okay to do. I was just crazy for a little bit. Well, motherfucker, you shouldn't have a store. People that can go crazy and put their hands on people for a little bit shouldn't have a store. I'm glad they came out. Shout out to the NAACP. on the local chapter, because people stay giving the NAACP local chapter shit when they fuck up. Well, shout out to them for organizing that, man. I wouldn't even have known about this if they hadn't organized and then the news went and covered it, because you can see it wasn't the other way around. I would not have known about this. I live in this area, did not know about this until today. Like, but yeah, fuck that and fuck them.
Right.
And 100.
And my thing is that I hope she sues him, because I bet you one thing, you think twice before you put your hands
on the lawyer's calling her.
Right.
Trust.
Because she literally got to open it. And I don't even give a fuck if she stole it.
You don't put your hands on people.
You do not do this.
I mean, call the police if you got to. Don't put your hands on nobody.
Right. We'll just sit here and argue out. My thing, you had no business going through my shit. Call the police. We'll both stand here and let them go through my shit. You have no right to touch me.
Motherfucker.
Or go through my shit.
All right. We gotta move on to something. Play some Guess the Race, okay? Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, the chat room, and Karen, to guess the race. And of course, Karen and chat room are races. Two things. First of all, this is why people had a curl kit.
Ah!
That's why they had that stuff shipped to their house every month. You don't got to walk in that store and get choked up.
Come on. That's why a lot of times, whatever your favorite is, it sells online. Mm-hmm. So I like it like a full. So my thing is that for a lot of them, also not trying to be funny, and not to get off topic, more on the low, more and more women are starting to go natural. It's like a crave for people transitioning to natural in various shapes or forms, even if they do it temporarily and go back. So a lot of the relaxers that they were selling aren't selling no more. A lot of the products they sell, they're doing, like the sales for them have plummeted. And so it's one of those things where, because of online, you have competition for online. So yes, it's quick and convenient for me to go to you because I can get on a spot. But you know what? I can wait a few days to get it online and wait if I got to deal with this, because this isn't worth it. Because he did this to save his business. Because people protesting means people gonna walk up there who might not even have know this story or might not even be in a loop, and they're gonna run business away.
I hope they go out of business.
Me too.
Go out of business.
Yep, go out of business. Fuck you.
Yeah. And so yeah, this episode is brought to you by Loot Crate. Of course, Loot Crate is a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT. Enter code TBGWT. You can save $3 off any new subscription. This month for March, the theme is Roar. That roar in the distance is a call. Will you answer it? The theme is Primal. This month we're going Primal and unleashing the beast of some of pop culture's most ferocious franchises. This savagely sweet collection has items from Overwatch, Wolverine, Jurassic World, and Predator. And it also includes the monthly t-shirt and print and pen. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time to sign up to get your stuff. So make sure you guys go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter code TBGWT and save that $3. And we actually have a box.
Yay! Boxing. I don't know what that was you called. I don't know.
It's called unboxing, Karen. You said it right.
Okay.
Let me get some scissors out here. Hold on 1 second.
They're right behind you.
Mm-hmm. See, it comes with the scissors so that it comes with a nice tape so that it doesn't open up. The mailman don't go through your cool shit.
I'm trying to tell you.
Let's see what's in this month's box, man. This is the DX, the Loot Crate DX. You can sign up for this.
Yeah, the big box.
You get $3 off of this too, guys.
Woohoo!
All right.
Oh, this one look neat.
Oh, we got Robotech, a collectible figure.
Ooh.
And it does transform into all three phases. So you got the plain version. It's the VF 1J Special Ops. You got the plain version, you got the part where it's like a plane with legs, and you got the mech version.
This is Gundam.
Yeah. Yep, Robotech. We also got Tetris, ceramic salt and pepper set.
Oh yeah.
So now we will be looking like we're the life of the party when it's time to fucking season our food. Okay, you don't have to worry about.
Oh
yeah, you guys out there got what? You got that boring ass white and black salt and pepper?
The regular ass salt and pepper shaker.
Is that what y'all into?
The normal.
Ours now look like Tetris pieces. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, now I don't know how you tell which one is salt and which one is pepper, but we'll figure it out. That's cool.
Yes, we will.
I like that. Let's see what else we got in here. Is anyone into Game of Thrones?
Yes.
They have a Game of Thrones construction set for the throne room.
Oh, so you put it together.
You put it together. It has Joffrey in it.
Oh.
It has the Iron Throne.
Shit, I might put that together and put it on the little display.
Yeah. So we got, this is dope. Wow, this is kind of big, too.
Yeah, it's 314 pieces.
Jesus. Well, yeah, you got that, man. Give that to, I was going to say you give it to a kid, but kids can't watch this.
And I'm not giving that to no kid.
The only kid that would take that is Arya Stark.
The only one?
Got some Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. socks, I believe.
Oh.
And it's funny because it looks like half is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and half is Hydra.
Yes!
So you can be Agent May with one Hydra sock and one Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. sock. I love this. I will definitely be playing basketball in these.
Oh, that's neat!
Yep. It just allows you to be effortlessly nerdy. Oh, the pin for this month is the Power Rangers.
We've been holding on to the pins.
And lastly, it's a book, Fantastic Beasts, Swooping Evil, an inside look at the magic zoology in the film. And it's J.K. Rowling's Fantastic Beasts. And it's a book. And it goes in the, and it's a punch out book too. So
did we see that with Layla?
We saw that. Did you see that with me?
Yes.
I saw it. I don't know if Layla saw it with me.
Oh, okay.
I think Layla may. No, Layla didn't see that with us.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
All right. So that's everything this month for the DX, man. Mm-hmm. So if you can get afford the DX, man, I say go with that.
I'm trying to tell you, the extra dollars are worth it. It's bigger and you get more cool stuff.
Yep. And then the last thing I will say is, I didn't ask them before this, but I'll just try to bring it up. Safety pin box, man. It's not just for white folks.
Mm-mm.
This month is just a very, like, just the timing could not be better, I guess. It's about trans women,
mm-hmm.
Black trans women. Safety pin box, and that's the theme for this month. The theme is Marsha P. March. They are creating content to help people become better allies, to be better educated, to give you tasks and things of this nature. And you can even donate, I think, $50 to the Marissa P. Johnson Foundation, and you will actually get this month's box. So if you don't want to sign up for like a subscription, but you want to get this month's boxes, maybe you listen to all this shit and you think me and Karen sound fucking Looney Tunes and we don't know what we're talking about.
Right.
Or maybe you just feel like, I feel all the time where it's like, I don't know what this is. I don't know how to talk about this thing,
right.
But I would like to have the words. I would like to at least know the knowledge.
Be educated.
SafetyPinBox.com, man. You can go sign up. Follow them on Twitter, SafetyPinBox. And ask, Leslie and Marissa, if y'all are most of y'all are friends with them and stuff on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them how you can get the box, man. Because like I said, if you're listening to what we're saying, you feel like we just sound like we're so out on left field on this shit. Maybe that's a resource where you can learn, so I don't think there's anything wrong with
And you can learn in a private, like, privacy, you can learn
without getting dragged,
right? You can have the flaws and it's all right and it's okay, and with it they have a private Facebook group where people can come in, ask questions. They actually have a podcast for people to subscribe to the box. The only people that subscribe is able to have, so you get access to all this extra content. And so let's say you go, well, I don't have $50. Go half and half with somebody. Split the box. Share the box. You know, there's various different ways. Go get four people. Everybody put in a little bit of money, and you can come up with it in no time. So, you know, go support them. They're out here working hard. They're actually doing a lot of work. If you're tired of explaining shit to people, get a box and give it to somebody else and say, I'm tired of your dumbass questions.
A couple who faked a brutal murder and sent a gruesome crime scene photo to their family. They did it to lure a relative who owed them money.
What?
But now they admit it was a bad idea.
Now they admit?
An Ohio couple say they regret faking a brutal murder in a twisted scheme to lure a relative who owed them money to their home.
Who was this? The Scooby-Doo gang?
Michael Risner, 29, and his fiance, Natalie Schlett, were charged with inducing panic for sending the fake crime scene pictures to their family members. Police say that Risner set up the elaborate stunt because he was trying to get his sister to come over to his house as she allegedly owed him money. They created a scenario in someone's mind that something really bad happened, Police Chief John Orzek said. The lesson for them is that they have to be accountable for their actions. Risner had texted his sister a picture that appeared to show Schlett lying dead and covered in blood in the bathtub, saying he has no memory of what happened, but that they had been arguing, and then he had woken up covered in blood. Please help me. I really didn't mean to. I don't remember. I was arguing and woke up to this, he sent his sister.
Yeah, you've been walking with the police showing up at your house.
Risner described to Inside Edition how he staged a disturbingly realistic scene. See, why would you talk to... you... This is a crime, and you go on the Inside Edition and be like, listen to how I committed this crime. I kind of wiped ketchup everywhere a little bit, put ketchup in the water, he said, and they got it, and then she got in the water. I started putting more ketchup to make it a little more gruesome. His panicked sister responded, what the fuck? Is she dead, Micah? Answer me now. I woke up on the bathroom floor with blood on me and her like that. I'm trying to clean, but I don't know if I should, he wrote. He then asked her to come by and pick him up. Apparently, believing her brother had committed murder, she agreed to come get him. Now, that's some ride or die shit, because my brother texts me that he just killed Mo. I'm calling the cops.
Right. I'll be like, hear their address, go on up there and see about him. I'm coming too, but believe they'll get there before I will.
I'm not becoming an alibi or a fucking accomplice. Mm-hmm. You can't be out here just killing random people. Yep. And calling me like I'm the cleanup man.
Mm-mm. You'd have been mad. Everybody on the police be like, it's a joke. Well, yeah, you're charged with tying up 911.
She also seemingly advised Risner on how to cover it up, telling him to delete their text and throw his blood-stained clothes in a dumpster far away. Shit. She's been watching too much cereal. So. Yeah,
fuck around and investigate her.
His sister then informed Risner that police are on the way to investigate after one of their relatives called 911. Why the cops coming? Don't call the cops, he wrote. She responded, I don't know what's going on. Just to be safe, I didn't call them, Mike. Oh, that's a typo. Delete all this from your phone. Police confirmed that several hysterical relatives had called to report the murder after receiving a gruesome crime scene photo. It looked very real. It looked like someone had been murdered or could have been self-inflicted. You don't know at the time, but if you look at the photo just getting it, it looks like a real crime scene incident. The couple have since spoken of their regret about the prank. I just thought that it'd be really cool and funny, he told Inside Edition. But police failed to see the funny side after receiving 911 calls. Dispatcher sent every single police officer in Sandusky, Ohio to the home.
Great.
Every single police officer. They were here for a report of a homicide, and I was like, no, that was me. It was in the bathtub. It was fake. It was a joke. I'm right here. Both Schlett and Risner say they will think twice before performing another prank. Definitely like murder scene ones. I'm going to stay away from that for quite a long time. Yeah, I don't think I should use those ideas anymore, Schlett added. When the police arrived, they found Schlett was alive and well, that the scene in the bathtub and stage with ketchup as a practical joke. We sent a lot of people there. The mother that had called us on 911 was very distraught, thinking this was real. Orzech told DailyMail.com that the couple indicated Risner's sister had allegedly stolen money from them, and it was their way of trying to get her to come back to the house. He described the ordeal as a very bad joke. Guess the race, Karen.
White.
Karen's going white. Let's check the chat room and see what you guys believe the race would be. Inside Edition, white. Only the whites would find a faux crime scene comical. Whitey, they sent everybody. Alive at the prank in the police, white. Thought murder was a prank. White fuckery. Rich cracker Ritzner. Sandusky. Weak white. CSI pun music. White. Fast police response. White. The correct answer is, and you guys all guessed the same thing, and you're all right. They were white.
For the fact that they didn't charge them with a crime for faking,
they did get charged with a crime for inducing the panic.
Inducing the panic, they ought to make them pay them for the man hours.
Yeah, I wonder. It's like your sister owe you money. Now down, you gonna have to pay a fine, or at least you gonna end up owing more money.
Ooh, you better not be glad my family member. Like, motherfucker, you might not ever call me again. With that
still didn't get your money like back. Here they are, by the way. Is it showing up?
Mm-hmm.
That's the crime scene.
That was funny. And you send it to a group of people. Don't you think somebody in this group is gonna be like, oh shit?
Yep. They gotta catch up from the crime scene. And the text they had. By the way, the reason I know they white, look at this knife. The reason I knew they was white is because they told the cops and the TV people everything. They were so proud of this whole ordeal.
Right, and it's not funny.
Yeah, it's a crime. Right, what are y'all doing?
Put people in a panic.
All right, as a 26-year-old man lay in a hospital bed dying, his girlfriend, who overpowered him and allegedly poured bleach in his mouth, laughed, prosecutor said in court Thursday. Yasmin Elder, 24, appeared before Judge Donald Penarese, who set bail at $1 million during a hearing at Layton Criminal Court. Elder is charged with first-degree murder in the attack, which left Darius Ellis dead. The defendant admitted to pouring bleach on the victim and then laughed at the witness when she was informed that the victim might die.
What?
The couple had been dating about a month. A month? We killing motherfuckers over a month? A month.
I'm not gonna lie. You better not leave
me. I'm not pouring bleach down your throat in a month. Not after a month, no. Karen, what'd you say?
I said, I'm not made for dating nowadays. You're killing me after a month, what?
Yeah, that's way too short of a time to be killing somebody. Now, I'm not saying there's any right time, but a month is right. Definitely the wrong time. I know that much.
I mean, at least get a catalog of reasons why.
I mean, y'all not even engaged after a month. A month? A month. Apparently, she laughed when she found out the victim might die. The couple had been dating about a month. Around 12:30 a.m. Monday, Ellis picked up Elder from work. About an hour later, while sitting in the van, they began to argue, and Elder climbed on top of him, Carlson said. Elder, 24, grabbed Ellis's dreadlocks and used her knee to hold him down. She grabbed a bottle of bleach and poured it on his face. Some of the bleach went down his throat, and as Elder left the van, she could hear him yelling that he could not breathe. Ellis, 26, collapsed and began foaming at the mouth, and one of several witnesses called 911. He was taken to Straga Hospital, where he was later pronounced dead. After the ambulance sped away, one of the witnesses walked to the Ellis home nearby and told relatives, while another witness saw Elder walking near the home and confronted her. Elder admitted to pouring bleach on Ellis and laughed when witnesses told her he might die. He was pronounced dead at 3:26 a.m. An autopsy determined Ellis died of complications from forcible administration of caustic substance. His death was ruled a homicide. Ellis also suffered abrasions to his neck, cheeks, and back, consistent with caused by fingernails, while being held down. Internal injuries to his esophagus and stomach consistent with chemical burns, bruises to his head and back. Elder was on court supervision for misdemeanor battery, where she hit a neighbor in the head with a metal lock. Minister society. Elder's attorney says she is single, has previously worked in sanitation at a bakery. Single and ready to mingle, I guess.
Apparently so.
She's charged with first degree murder in an attack against Ellis and was ordered held on $1 million bail. Relatives said Ellis was the father of a 5-year-old son. He was a good kid, said Ellis's maternal grandmother. Everybody loved him. Shit. That's pure evil right there. Over a fucking argument? Under the jail. What the fuck? Anyway, guess the race, Karen.
Black.
Karen's going with black. All right, let's check the chat room, see what you guys believe. After a month, I wish a motherfucker would.
Come on, dog.
Darius, you are going to come clean, black, says Denise. Aww. What the fuck is wrong with her? Sadly, I think she's black. I hate to say it, but black. Let me clear my throat. Black. Glad this psycho is off the streets. That's not a race. She wasn't alkaline. Yada. Aww. Didn't have time to boil the water. Black. Ha. Blackity black black. Mm-mm-mm. Well, the correct answer is, and everybody guessed black, she's black. Mm-mm-mm. Let me see if I can put the picture in the chat in a second. But yeah, she don't like, she gives no fucks either. Mm-mm-mm. Is it showing up? Mm-mm. Damn it. Of course it wouldn't show up.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh.
Okay, it did show up.
Yeah, she looked like, yeah, I did it and I don't care.
Yep.
She looking like, he dead, so.
You know what her favorite anime is?
What?
Bleach. All right.
That's a good one.
Thank you. Let's go to the bonus round, guys. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race for the bonus round of guess the race. So far, Karen is 2 for 2 and so is the chat room. But let's see if you can keep it going in the bonus round. Stakes is high. Man, that was a crazy story. Nashville, Tennessee. A Shih Tzu died late last month after Metro Police say a man put it inside the apartment complex trash compactor.
Oh!
Mm-hmm. That's right. Dog's trash.
Getting rid of his dog.
Ah!
To sick, extreme. It happened at the Arbor Hills Apartments just south of Bell Road in Antioch. Brent Romagna is at the complex where it happened, and we warn you ahead of time, it's hard to listen to some of this.
Yeah, very disturbing here. That's 27-year-old Terrence Clark, the man who was arrested and charged here. It happened here at this Antioch apartment complex at this compactor here behind us. Police telling us that the man actually put the dog in a trash sack, threw it away, and then turned on the compactor here. Very disturbing, as I mentioned. Now, Terrence Clark has a criminal history that's pretty lengthy, including previous charges for attempted first-degree murder, criminal homicide, drug possession, and theft. Now, he was arrested and charged with aggravated animal cruelty. His bond has been set at $65,000. So, once again, a very disturbing situation that went on here. Neil, back to you.
All right, Karen, guess the race of Terrence Clark.
Black.
Karen's going with black. Mm-mm-mm. Let's check the chat room and see what you guys believe. Let me scroll down. Brianna says black. First name, and they gave his criminal history, Negro.
Oh.
White man who had a crush on his dog. Oh. Hot smash dog. Mm-mm-mm. That don't even make sense. white people only kiss dogs on the mouth and sometimes makes love to them, not kill them. Black. I think he's a black too. White folks love their dogs too much. Terrence, black. End with a hard R. Shit's malt liquor, black. Aw. Don't kiss the dog, black. A lot of people went black. I think one person went white. The correct answer is black. And one person went white. Okay, here's something that's gonna sound weird to you guys, but you wanna know what really bothered me about this story? The news article we had about the dude choking out the black woman, they were not nearly as sensitive as they were just about the language in this. They were like, this is gonna be so disturbing. You got, listen, trigger warning out there to everyone listening to the news. This is a very disturbing allegation to be able to hear. Okay, guys, go out to you, Ted. I'm gonna try to get through this story, but that poor dog. And you're like, Jesus. And then when it comes to somebody choking out a black woman, they're like, coming up next, did this man go too far? We'll see.
Right, because we're literally less than animals.
A woman, are your children drinking tap water that will kill them?
Well, you see, they passed laws.
Now that's scary. All
right.
But yeah, this dog, we gotta play some soft music in the background in the arms of an angel.
We ain't gonna make it without him.
That's so funny. Just a different tone. It's like, you feel like there was more warning than there was story in that shit. There's, listen, viewers, if you're home and you have small children, just take them outside and just let them pet a puppy or something.
It's gonna be too much.
Yeah. Sword ratcheting this time, guys. Samurai sword attacker found guilty.
Oh shit.
A Stevens Point man was found guilty after attacking a man with a samurai sword. Joshua Bella, guess the race, white, was convicted of attempted first degree murder, international homicide.
I was an international homicide. Woo!
International homicide division. That sounds like a good movie or a TV show.
I'm all in.
Starring J Lo, international homicide. Intentional homicide and armed burglary. After a Portage County jury deliberated for 2 days in his trial, Bella was accused of stabbing John Richard 3 times in the heart with the sword after breaking into his home. Richard's roommates were able to tackle Bella, and Richard was able to survive the attack. Still took him 2 days. According to criminal complaint, Richard had previously kicked Bella out of the halfway house he owned after Bella would not participate in urine analysis. The maximum punishment Bella faced is 60 years, but because he was charged as a repeat criminal, it could be more severe. Mm-hmm. And when you look at this dude's face, listen, I have to show you guys his face.
Is it
lasting? This dude looks like Christian Bale in that one movie, American Psycho. Like, he looks like he looked like the picture you have of somebody that killed a lot of people.
He got a thick neck.
Look, he has no facial hair. The ponytail looks like.
Yeah, he looks very scary.
He looks very much like, I just want to eat your skin.
Right, right. Look like if you try to attack him and choke him, you end up breaking your hands.
Anyway, be careful out here. These people got swords. They come back to the halfway house. You just trying to help people at the halfway house.
That's it.
They don't want to take the drug test, and now somehow that's your fault.
Mm-mm. Right.
All
right,
guys, we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, and then Wednesday for Walking Dead recap, our guest will be Jeremy again from the Crown of College podcast.
Cool.
So until tomorrow, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.